There you go.
It's recording. Whee! Hello, everybody. So let me just do a hi and welcome for our NEPT study call for the month of May 2017. We've got a bunch of stuff. I'm going to turn Brenda's there we go, because I'm getting dizzy from looking at your ceiling, Brenda, so I'm turning you off.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. That's better. I was like, whoa,
the room sorry.
Is spinning. Okay, so you were first on my list for cases, so it's good.
Okay.
So great. We've got several cases. We actually had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 cases submitted. Usually we only have time for 2 or 3 to do as full cases. Brenda's was the first one in, so Brenda gets to go first. So let me just clarify for those of you who are relatively new and for everybody really, the case study calls we're picking 2 to 3 where we go head to toe, start to finish on like how to analyze a case. So it's a really good process to teach you how to actually ask the right questions and get the right information and answer it. There's another way that you can get help with your cases, and you can come to any of our other calls, any of our open coaching calls. And when you come to any of the other coaching calls, I'm not going to go through step by step through every part of your case because that takes like a long time. But you can ask targeted questions. So I've got this person, he's dealing with this, the lab says this, what are some of the next steps? So for tonight, I'm going to get through as many of these as I can. I've got 4 of them up and open, so we'll see what happens from there. So are you going to sit still for a little while, Brenda?
Yes, got the door closed now so the dog won't bark.
Okay, good for you. All right, so the way it's going to go, I'm going to share my screen. I've got the information that they've put together. Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to read them all because I spent the last 2 hours dealing with the technology. So it'll be just me like looking at them cold, and we'll see what we come up with. And, you know, that's typically how I do it anyway. All right, so I am going to go and do share screen. And find the screen where it's shared. Not Skype, not desktop. That's via Zoom. Very strange. Now let's try that. That's not what we want. I can't get rid of it.
Hmm.
Oh, Lordy. Yes, this is definitely not a good technology day. Probably my RoboForm setup warning. Probably it couldn't do it because of the... All right, so let me go here. Okay, so this is the screen I want to share, which has all of your cases. So I'm going to stop share. And then I'm going to share screen. There it is. Yay. Okay, so I'm going to go here. So you should see my list of cases for today. So these are the cases that were submitted. This is Brenda's person. So this is all the stuff we received from you. I think 4 of these were from now and 3 of these were old. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, got it. So I'm going to start with the case. So whenever you submit a case, there's a case study form. If you're new, Lynn is going to be doing an orientation on Monday. So that's a good thing to come to Monday evening. And she'll guide you through how do you actually submit these things, where to find these forms, and everything else you need to know about the membership site. So
actually, we changed the time to Thursday night.
Oh, we changed it to Thursday night.
We just did that today.
Oh, okay. So just make sure that it gets changed.
Yep, she does. Yep.
Okay, good. Good. All right. So Brenda submitted this case. And Brenda, would you like to tell us a little bit about this person? And then I can scan through for the rest of the... Okay. Tell us a little bit about her.
So we spoke about her last time. She is doing much better with her blood sugar dysregulation, like much better. She had insulin levels fasting of like 14.
Oh, wow.
She doesn't have that retested, but she's been doing her own testing at home, and she's really got herself much more stabilized.
Great.
And she's feeling better, but she's still struggling with fatigue and the sleep issues, which has been ongoing for over a decade.
Okay.
And a lot of pain and inflammation and what she calls chronic fatigue. And so I thought, I've looked and I've done SpectraCell, but I've never done a NutriVal, and she just had this done. So I thought this would be a good opportunity to maybe look at a different type of micronutrient test.
Mm-hmm.
And she was hoping to maybe find some patterns that might be suggestive, or
mitochondrial dysfunction or other things like that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay.
And then I also included her genetics, which I'm, you know, learning about too, and maybe again finding some correlation or patterns there.
So she's a 5'4" female, 155 pounds. Has she lost weight since she's been doing this process?
Not a lot.
Okay.
I think she's about 150 now.
Okay. So not much over the course of a few, this was like March when you first got this one. Okay. Yeah. And then, so the insulin resistance, the blood sugar is better. The insulin levels are better. Is she doing the checking of the blood sugar, and what's her peaks tend to be?
She's keeping them. I don't know about the peaks, like 45 minutes.
Yeah, that's a critical piece of information, because you can get those peaks and you can go back and find the foods that are driving those peaks up.
Okay.
That's when you're going to have magic. And it may be something as simple as cauliflower, right?
Oh, wow.
You're not expecting, but cauliflower makes this person's blood sugar go up, or red bell pepper, or something that's a little bit more of a starchy or sweet vegetable can even be shooting her sugar up. So very critical to get those things, especially if they've hit a plateau, right?
Okay.
Because there's still some things there. And then looking at, has she done the 30-day metabolic reset?
Not to the T.
Okay. So what's the not, what's off? What's been off?
Well, the sleep is still the critical piece that's tough for her, and it's erratic. She has to use the medical marijuana to sleep, which she's been doing more consistently, and it's been helping.
Okay. Good.
And she could probably increase her exercise too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. So we'll look to see what shows up for nutrients, but the critical is getting that food, just because if she's still eating foods that are shooting that peak up,
okay,
then that's going to put her at a plateau. Okay.
Okay. And we're looking 45 to 60 minutes after eating.
Yeah. Okay. Generally. Now, not everybody's peak is the same. So it could be anywhere from a half an hour to an hour. Some people even peak at an hour 15. So it just depends on the composition of the meal. If there's more fat in the meal, it will tend to peak a little bit later if there's more starch in the meal. But I would be looking at some of those foods that people say, a little bit of sweet potato isn't going to hurt. A little bit of quinoa isn't going to hurt. And those are the culprits that oftentimes do it. Doesn't mean that she has to be off those things forever. It just means that until she gets the receptors reset, and the sleep is a critical part of it. So while she's not sleeping, she's going to have to be more careful than once she's able to get that under control. So let me just go back to the sleep and clarify, because sometimes people aren't sleeping because they're not going to bed, because they're staying up and working. And other people can't fall asleep. And you're saying that she's having trouble falling asleep or staying asleep?
Staying asleep.
Staying asleep.
She can fall asleep. It's the staying asleep. And she's really worked on her sleep hygiene.
Okay.
And
she's done some herbs, and she's done the warm baths and the turning down the lights and kind of stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And last thing is adrenals. Refresh me. Did you do an adrenal panel on her?
In the past, yeah, definitely stage 3.
Okay. Fatigue. But stage 3, but see, it's people that are waking up in the middle of the night, and then you do all the obvious sleep hygiene stuff, right? You want to look at the middle of the night cortisol. So you want to get a kit that will test her right in the middle of the night.
Actually, that was our last call, was the Dutch, and she has very high cortisol, like chronically.
Okay, so she's a stage 1, not a 3 then. Right, stage 1 would be very high cortisol. I mean, it depends on what the total sum is.
Right.
Yeah.
Looking at her ratio, she was definitely catabolic.
Yes.
Low DHEA. But that was from the saliva. The Dutch definitely indicated high cortisol.
Is this the one, refresh me, was this the one where we looked and I said, holy cow, she's got a lot of reserves?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Lots of cortisone too.
Okay, so have you addressed that? Have you addressed that with some of the, you know, the cortisol lowering type things like magnolia bark and phosphatidylserine and those sorts of things?
She takes about 6 of those capsules every night, the
phosphatidylserine.
Yeah.
And does she take it again when she wakes up in the middle of the night, or she take it just as bedtime?
Transdermal. Just at bedtime.
Okay. So here's the way that phosphatidylserine dosing works the best.
Okay.
If a person has trouble falling asleep, their first dose is at dinner time, their second dose is at bedtime. If they have trouble staying asleep, their first dose is at bedtime, and then as soon as they wake up, they take it again.
Okay.
And we're trying to retrain the body not to do that, right? Okay. So if you just take it at bedtime, it oftentimes doesn't do the trick.
Okay. Perfect.
So that's a good thing to get her, because she's got to get the sleep in. All right, yes. So let's look. This is her Nutravel.
So I have a quick question about butter. So I know all dairy drives up insulin. Is that the same for a good grass-fed butter or ghee?
It's the whey protein
in
there that drives up insulin.
Okay. So there's no whey in ghee, right?
Well, you know, that's the thing. If someone does a really good job and they guarantee that there's no whey or casein in it, and they state that, then there isn't. Okay. There could be trace amounts.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right, so Nutravel. Who commented, put a note in the comments as who has seen the Nutravel before and who's never seen a Nutravel before. This is from Genova. Got a lot of good stuff in here so we can see what's going on with her.
Yeah, I've never seen one. This is my first.
Because you're a virgin. All right. Nutravel virgin. All right. Laura's seen them. Hey, oops. All right, so let's just go through this. So the first part is the vitamin and minerals and some of those nutrients. And when you look here, her vitamin A, C, and E, B6, molybdenum, and zinc are all in the green range. That means that they're finding normal levels of these. And these are actually measuring these nutrients in the part of the blood where they show up best. So some might be white blood cells, some might be red blood cells, some might be serum. Unlike going to Quest Labs and just running a blood test and getting them all in the serum, that really doesn't tell you much information for some of them. If you have been through the micronutrients module, you'll learn there's one module, there's one nutrient per, you know, there's a video for each nutrient, and you'll find out which compartment is best for testing each of them. If we look in the high need area, she's short in B2. So she's tired, right?
Yes.
So what is one of the big functions of B2 in terms of energy production? Do you know? Module 2.
In the Krebs cycle?
Krebs cycle, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she doesn't have enough B2. Remember, there's FAD that's in there. FAD is real important for making energy. So this is a critical one for you to be dosing her. Their recommendation is 50 milligrams. You know, you may have to play with that up or down, but I would go there. Definitely.
So I would like to say this is a picture of someone who takes a lot of supplements. And so that was her question. How can I be taking so many supplements and still be borderline? And
how much B2 is she taking? How much?
I'm not sure of the exact amount.
What's her digestion like? So have you addressed her digestion?
Yeah, she's a tough one because she doesn't have digestive symptoms, but I'm working on her that doesn't mean she doesn't have digestive issues.
So she asked you a question, why do I take a lot of supplements and I don't have good levels? Mm-hmm. Because you're not digesting.
Absorbing.
So there's a problem with, it's either a digestive issue, if she's taking capsules and she's taking in their cellulose around the capsules, she may have a hard time breaking down those cellulose capsules. So whenever somebody's like that, I'm looking at improving digestion, but I'm also looking at more therapeutically active forms of nutrients. So I would be looking at liquids and powders. I'd also look at what is she taking. is she taking them in an activated form? Is she taking really super high quality? Like some people are like, yeah, they're taking Thorne and Pure Encapsulations. They're activated. Mm-hmm. And other people are taking Walgreens version, you know, and
yeah, she's, in between. She's taking all the good stuff.
Okay.
Pure Encapsulations and Thorne.
Good. Right. And they're in powdered form or are they, most of those are going to be in capsule form?
Mostly capsules. Yeah.
Okay. So wherever possible, you want to look at that. And whenever something shows up like this, these guys usually put in the summary, like approximate amounts. It could be an amount, it could be an absorption problem. It could be she's not getting enough.
Okay.
A lot. If she's making a lot of cortisol, she's going to be, you know, driving that Krebs cycle and depleting her nutrients, right? If she's eating any kind of refined foods, whether it's, you know, gluten-free rice bread or all out, you know, ding-dongs, those are going to deplete her B vitamins big time. And if she's under stress, she's going to deplete her B vitamins big time. So B2 riboflavin, super important for that Krebs cycle. Okay. So 50 milligrams, you check all the things she's taking and then you figure out how much she's taking and how much you need to get in her. Okay. So, but she's got borderline low of a lot of things. Now, lipoic acid, super important. Krebs cycle, mitochondrial nutrient, right? CoQ10, super important in the mitochondria. So if you can get these levels up, may not be a permanent long-term thing. It may be just that she's, before she started seeing you and started changing her diet and really improving things, that she developed all these deficiencies and just the diet alone is not going to replenish the deficiencies. So this might be like, I would do a 3-month trial of higher than usual doses of these things, clearly a high potency B vitamin. And if she's already taking like, you know, I think that Pure Encapsulations as a super high potency one with activated forms. If that's not working, I'd go to liquid.
Okay.
And try that for a while. Or have her open her capsules.
Okay.
Okay. She has a whole bunch of capsules. Just have her open them and get those in.
Okay.
So, but the lipoic acid and CoQ10, I'd look at supplementing those. You can look at some mitochondrial formulas. Look at the good companies. I don't have one off the top of my head that I can think of. But there's some that have the lipoic acid, the CoQ10, some of the B vitamins. Okay. B1. B1 is super important for gut lining integrity as well as for brain function and for mitochondrial function. Not as important as B3 and B2. B2 and 3, NAD, FAD, part of that, critical part of that Krebs cycle. So those are the key ones for Krebs cycle, but B1's important for brain function. So if she's having the brain fog and, you know, difficulty focusing and even sleep and blood sugar balance, B1 is super important for blood sugar balance.
Okay. Does that
make sense? So I would be looking at what is she taking and how can you increase the efficacy of it? Because all of her Bs are low except for B6. Is she taking like a separate B6?
She takes a lot of pantothenic acid.
Okay.
That's 5, right?
That's 5.
And I'm trying to think. I know she's taking lipoic. I know she's taking CoQ10.
Yeah, so you're going to look at upping the doses or going for a liquid. I know there's a couple of companies. I think Apex has a really nice CoQ10 liquid. Lipoic acid, I don't know off the top of my head who has it, but you can find most everything in liquid or
okay. Pump.
Okay, so that's what I would be looking at. Magnesium and manganese, you know, it's not an overall across the board low in minerals. So I'm not saying, well, she definitely has low stomach acid, but she could have low stomach acid, right? Magnesium and manganese are harder to get. Manganese is super important for collagen support. So if she's having aches or things like that, that could be super important. And of course, magnesium for contract, relax of the muscles. So I'd be looking at those. Those are easy to get in. Magnesium is easy to get in a powdered form or a liquid form for sure. Manganese might be, I think, Good State has manganese in liquid.
Okay.
So certainly possible. Now, what I don't like to do is just take a test like this and throw a bunch of supplements at it.
Right.
But in this case where she's taking a lot of stuff and she's already made a lot of dietary improvements, I would, you know, again, be looking more closely at the diet to make sure she's not spiking her insulin, I mean, her glucose at certain points and fix whatever is broken. Say, look, we have to have meticulous nutrition.
Okay.
Get this turned around, but we have to improve your digestion. Does she take any kind of bitters with her meals? Does she take any enzymes?
She's taking the HCL with the betaine and the gentian and pancreatic enzymes. Yeah.
Is she taking, her zinc is good. So she must be taking some zinc. Okay. All right. So those are the things I would look at there. If we look at her, this is, they actually give you a supplement schedule. They will create a powder that contains everything.
Nice.
So you might want to ask her if she's open to doing that. And then they will custom tailor, see these amounts? That's, they will custom tailor that powder, and she just has to take a scoop of that powder. And
that's cool. Something.
So it makes it real easy for people.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not cheap, but you
right.
know, health is, you know, mm-hmm. right.
Now so, on the probiotics, they're recommending 50 billion, but of which strain?
So, yeah. So that would matter. Hold on a second. I'm just going to tell you. Yeah, so that would make a difference as to what's going on in her gut. And I'm actually going to be bringing Steph on tomorrow night for a Facebook Live to talk about that exact thing. Like, how do you know what strains to take?
Yeah.
Right? How do you know? Because it's different. If she had done a stool test and we saw that her bifidocin and lacto were out of balance, then we'd focus on, you know, whichever one was out of balance. If she has SIBO type symptoms, but you're saying she doesn't have gut symptoms, then I would say, you know, focus more on the bifidus and the D-lactic acid free type strains. So, you know, 50 could be, it could be anything. Now, if people have really altered digestive tracts, sometimes even doing suppositories of probiotics can be helpful.
Okay.
So this is just giving you, you know, a graphical, and it talks about what these things are good for. So it's always nice to review this. Let's see. So that's her bees. That's her minerals. Okay. So probiotics.
And interesting that her pancreatic enzymes are low and she's taking them.
Yeah. Well, guess, you know, what functions do the, does the pancreas share in this particular case, right? Pancreas makes digestive enzymes. It also makes insulin. So she had this, you know, over time been making a ton of insulin, like 14 is pretty darn high.
Yeah.
Making a lot of insulin. She's wearing her pancreas out.
Okay.
So I'd be looking at what, number one, the quality of the enzymes, are they plant-based or are they animal-based? Are they pancreatic enzymes or are they plant-based proteins? And you could just have to play with the different enzymes and see what improves. But yeah, she definitely needs the enzymes, even though she's taking them, they're not as effective as they need to be. So switching it up, because not all supplements are made the same, right? So how to switch it up is really important.
She's got the ones from Thorn, the Dipan.
Those are usually pretty good. Is she taking like two or three with each meal or one?
Yes.
She is?
A couple, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that pancreas would need some strengthening then. She doesn't drink alcohol, does she?
No.
Has she in the past?
I don't think she's been a big drinker.
No, okay. No. Yeah. Is there diabetes in her family?
That I don't know.
Yeah, worth looking at. And we have her genetics so we can see if she has any of the SNPs that...
Okay.
She has her genetics run. The reports don't necessarily show all of the SNPs that are related, but I did a presentation a couple of months ago. It should be on the site on the insulin resistance module on the genetics of blood sugar imbalance. So you can look to see, you know, some people are just going to be in that, you know, that high 25% where they have to work really hard. Like I have to just really work hard. I can't just let it go and start eating lots of fruit again because I have lots of genetics towards that. And you couple that with not sleeping, right?
Yeah. So
the genetics and then the not sleeping can be seriously impacting. And then the high levels of cortisol. What does cortisol do, right? It breaks down muscle to create sugar.
Right.
So getting those cortisol levels down is going to be super important. She have particular stresses in her life that are causing this?
She feels stressed about her health in general and feeling in pain. And when I ask her about her stress level, she says they're pretty high.
Yeah. So have you taught her some techniques to manage them? Does she do it on a regular basis?
We're working with that. When I mention meditation or just even, you know, taking a little vacation, she just says, oh, I'm so bad at that. So working on it.
Yeah. And so what is her big why? Why does she want to get her health back?
I think just freedom to feel better.
Okay. Freedom to feel better. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when she says, well, I'm not good at that. Mm-hmm. What if I told you that getting good at that is going to give you this freedom to live your life? Mm-hmm. You know, so really work with the languaging and work with what she's telling you is super important. That helps people to make decisions to do things. Mm-hmm. Right? It sounds like she's a fairly compliant person, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But there's certain things that are tough, and the sleep and the stress, combination of sleep and stress with an impeccable diet is still going to put you at insulin resistance and plateau that weight loss and the inflammation and all that. So that's what I would be looking at. This just is a nice review of your Krebs cycle, which I really like the way they do this because they show you the things that they're finding and where they are out of balance. So you can see where she's going to have problems, where she has issues because of what's found there. Like, you know, here she's stuck, it's red, right? So all of these things are really important. And this does show your cofactors. It shows you the things that hurt those. So you want to look here in the red ones. You look for, does she have exposure to fluorine and mercury and arsenic and what is SB? Whatever that one is, you have to look at the periodic table. I don't remember. But these things are, you know, sometimes heavy metal can be a problem, right? A lot of heavy metals, you see where the heavy metals thwart the progression of this. Mm-hmm. So I'd be looking at what is it take to get there. So glutathione, iron. Here you go with your B3, magnesium, manganese, right? So many of those nutrients that she's low in are Krebs cycle nutrients. And it's possible that she's low in them because she's been driving so hard and her cortisols have been hard that her metabolic rate is pushed up and she's just been depleting her Krebs cycle nutrients. So just don't be afraid to suggest that she take more or switch the kinds. She absolutely needs these things, right? And she's low.
Okay.
Right? So you look at this and you see where she's stuck. Right? So most of these nutrients are the same, but really she's got this succinic, you know, she had a problem here. So the problem was with going through here, FAD, NAD, magnesium, right? She's low in all of these. So she's stuck here. She can't make it all the way through her Krebs cycle to produce enough ATP. And I would be looking at heavy metals as keep that in your back pocket. You don't have to go to them immediately, but that's something. Ask her about dental filling. Ask her about water. Is she drinking tap water? Is there fluoride in it? You know, just ask her about, like, arsenic is in, a lot of people have their decks and they're stained and there's a lot of arsenic in the stain. If she's walking around barefoot outside on her deck, that problem. So it's all these, that's why I love these tests, not to go, oh, it says I need 50 milligrams of this and 20 milligrams of that, but to look at why and then look at where it's blocked up. And, you know, it's clear that her low energy is related to this Krebs cycle dysfunction. Right? So she may get a really big hit of energy by going high. And some people go super high. I've had people do 150 milligrams of B1 three times a day. And the dose is what? Is 5 milligrams is the RDA. So that's massive, but they need your results from that. So don't be afraid of it for short term. Keep a watch on it. It's not going to be forever. And if she's reticent to take too many separate things, look for powders where she can mix together. Look at getting that blend that they recommended and look for liquids and things like that. Okay.
Okay.
And liposomals are really good. Not everything comes in liposomal, but liposomals are super good because they will help the person to absorb it even when they're impaired. Okay.
Okay.
Here's some more metabolic markers. Now, this is similar to the OAT test. For those of you who have done an OAT test before, the malabsorption and dysbiosis marker. So this NutriVal includes like an OAT test and all the nutrients, and it has also a fatty acid test that we'll get to in a bit. So if we look here, it looks like she's got some problems mm-hmm. in malabsorption, even though she doesn't have gut symptoms. So this is your ammunition with her. Say, I know you don't have gut symptoms, but we've got some issues going on here. Mm-hmm. So she's got not so much these, there's yellow, you know, so there are some yeast and fungal markers, not as high as the bacterial markers. And that can be putting a big strain on her adrenals. And if she has a parasite going on, they tend to be active at night. So people who wake up during the night, right? So this gut stuff is super important. Super important.
Well, I will tell you that she was diagnosed with Lyme like 2012. And the doctor had her on. She was spent years on heavy duty antibiotics. Yes.
So 50 billion organisms in
probiotics. Nothing, right?
Nothing, not enough. And right. I would go with the therapeutic dose of like 450 for at least a week. And then you can back it off. You have to build up to it because, you know, but you just build it up by 50, by 50, by 50, by 50. Get to 50, keep her there for a week, and then back it down.
Okay.
Come to that call with Steph because she is always figuring out some incredible stuff about how do you tell by what symptoms and what other things are out of balance, which organisms might be the best ones for her to take.
Okay.
She's actually doing a little course for people to take with her so they can help them create their own custom probiotic foods that balance their specific things. So.
Okay. Cool.
But it'd be good for all of you to come to because she's always got new research in that area. So here's her metabolic, her mitochondrial markers. So, you know, there's a lot of them out of balance and we've already talked about that and looked at that. Mm-hmm. We'll look at her fats in a bit. I don't remember seeing it. I'm not sure. Maybe the pages got out of order. Usually you see this after you've seen the whole thing, but there's some, fats. Let's see. That doesn't look too bad. Neurotransmitter metabolites. So there's some issues with neurotransmitters. Not terrible, but just a little bit out of balance. And then we looked at the vitamins and here. So, So the first set was the actual vitamins in whichever compartment they measured. This is actually looking at some of the vitamins in specific functional ranges. So, and again, they're not showing it. I like to look at I usually do the Great Plains test and they tell you more about it. I don't remember which one goes to which. You know, I know methylmalonic acid is B12 and she's got a slightly elevated methylmalonic acid. It's not out of the range, but it's certainly out of the ideal range. So B12 might be an issue as well. And I would we'll look at her genetics in a bit before talking about that.
What about the high citric acid and succinic acid?
Yeah, those are because her Krebs cycle is halted. She's not able to fully go through. And so you get buildups of metabolites because whenever you see a high level of a metabolite in a pathway, you always look at what's next. That's generally going to be low. It might be normal, but it's going to be low. And then you look at what are the cofactors to convert it. Right. Okay. This is why I concentrate so much on biochemistry in this program. That's why we started right out with looking at the Krebs cycle, because it's such an important piece. You're not going to memorize it. You always have your charts to look at. But when you have an understanding of it, you're able to pick out these metabolic defects that are creating an imbalance. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would look at. She does have some detoxification markers, and this is a summary page. So let's see what they have to say about that on some of the others. But yeah, there's definitely some toxicity. So, you know, looking at the liver and looking at supporting the liver, looking at getting her on some liver supporting herbs, foods, daikon and burdock root and artichoke leaf, and even getting some milk thistle seeds and grinding them up and putting them on salads. Mixing them with some kelp, nice, high nutrient dense thing, but really helping her to support her liver. She's not drinking, but looking at are there other foods or things she's taking in that would be impacting liver detox. And then if you look in, I'm trying to think which section I have that. There's a foods that support detox. Actually, it was in the slide. It was in the SIV materials, and it's in the detox module. It's in the green cleanse too. There's a whole list that I have of foods that support and foods that hurt detox. But if you did you do the live stream for SIV?
I was there.
You were, oh yeah, that's right. You were there. Darn. Go to the You're right. I saw you there. The go to the materials page there.
Okay.
One of them there is foods that enhance detox and foods that deplete. And just get her looking at, are you doing any of these foods? Let's take them out. Let's increase these foods. It just makes it easy. Oh, yeah, let's add dill. You know, let's add some lemon oil, right? Just simple charts. And those charts, I want to have a call one time to just tell you where to find all the charts that I want you to take out and print out and put in a binder. Because it's all these great reference charts that if you just have them there, you don't have to be, you know, the brilliant photographic memory. I don't have a photographic memory. So I've always had to make charts to help me remember. And yeah, the stuff I use a lot, I remember. But it's just so nice to be able to pull it out. And if you have a person in front of you that you make a copy of it and you say, here, take this. You know, you just seem really smart and you are. And people really respect that. Yeah, so her tyrosine metabolism is off, and you know she may be depleting so much tyrosine and making her cortisol that she's going to be low in tyrosine, which can affect her thyroid, which can affect her metabolic rate, which would keep her from losing the weight.
Okay,
right. So all of this brings us back to, you know, the real importance of the whole hierarchy. She didn't even know she had a gut problem, but she has a gut problem.
Yeah.
And now you have a way to tell her, you know, it's very common. Large numbers of people have gut problems, but they miss the boat on healing because they don't address the gut because they don't have bloating and gas. Right? That's the stuff I would be talking to her about. And by the way, you know, you really need to be taking people's names off these things. Right?
I know. Sorry.
Because it's, you know, going back and really should be taking people's names off. And I'm going to require that for any of these coming up. Because when this is a recording, this isn't just like you and I are sitting there going over this and it doesn't matter because it's just you and me. This is a recording that goes on the site and everybody gets to see. So it's really important to move people's names, and I'll try moving really fast through them so nobody sees them. Amino acids aren't bad. Her arginine's a little bit low. But that'll affect nitric oxide. That'll affect the epithelial linings. The nitric oxide's super important for that. But otherwise, her amino acids look pretty darn good.
Okay.
Some of the intermediaries, these are the essentials. The intermediaries are a little bit, they're looking okay. The B vitamin markers, you know, we talked about B vitamins already. Urea cycle, so those don't look bad. Essential fatty acids. Let's look at her fats, because fats are really critical for inflammation, and she has pain, right? But let's see what's going on there. We have omega-3s. Actually, her omega-3s look pretty good. Her ALA is on the lower end of the ideal, but her EPA and DHA are fine. So I'm not worried about that. Her omega-9s, you know, oleic's a little bit on the high side. I bet she eats a lot of olive oil and avocados.
She does.
So, you may want her to not eat so much oil, especially if she's using olive oil and she's overweight, right? I'm a big fan of real food, right? So let's cut back on the olive oil.
Okay.
Avocado's fine. It's a whole food, but that's what I would do. Saturated fats are looking okay. Omega 6. So her ratio is, she's omega 3 dominant, which is what we want to see in somebody with inflammation. So I don't think that this is at the core of it. Her arachidonic is low. Those look okay. Monounsaturates. Delta 60 saturase activity. So her Delta 60 saturase, she's probably taking fish oils, right?
She does, yes.
Yeah. So how do I know that? You want to explain how you think I know that she's taking fish oils? And this is so cool because when you look at these and you get too used to looking at these, you tell people what they're eating and what they're not eating, and they go, how'd you know that? Right? Because they know that because here, her EPA, DHA are... Her DHA is a little on the low side, and you might be able to bump it up a little. She might be taking just a regular fish oil versus a cod liver oil where there's more DHA. A little extra DHA could be helpful for the insulin resistance.
Okay.
That could be algae too, to get just the DHA. But her ALA is low. So that means that her body is not converting her ALA into EPA, DHA. She's solely relying on her intake of it, supplement, which means the enzyme that goes from alpha linoleic, and also it goes from alpha linolenic and linoleic on the omega-3 side, the enzyme is delta 60 saturase. So if you go back to the macronutrients module and you look at fats, we give you a good explanation of all that. So that delta 60 saturase enzyme is dependent on a lot of the nutrients we've just shown that she's low in. So this right. is yet another confirmation about that. And when she gets those levels up, she may need to take less supplemental fish oil, which will save her a little bit. Fish oil is quite expensive, right?
Right.
Chia seeds and flax seeds are quite inexpensive compared to fish oil, right? And so she could then rely on the conversion and just maybe a little bit of fish oil, or just eating fish a couple of times a week.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so she's on the low end of omega-6 to omega-3. AAEPA, still... That doesn't make sense. Oh, it's low. Yes, low doesn't really mean much of anything. Omega-3 index, yes. So what's happening over here is the linoleic, the conversion from... So GLA is good. Does she take any borage oil or EPA, evening primrose or anything like that?
I don't think so.
Okay. So her GLA is good, but she's not converting. I'm not worried about these numbers. I'm just going to skip. Okay. I'm not worried about them being too low at this point based on what you okay. talked about her. But the one thing I would say is help her to get that delta
DHA.
Saturates, and then get her some extra DHA for the blood sugar.
Okay.
Okay. Glutathione's in a good range. Her lipid peroxidases are low. Yeah, these don't look bad. And this is just another picture of that first page. I don't know why they repeated. I've seen this repeated several times in several tests. I don't know why. They do. Oh, yeah. So this is, gives you the description. So you can go back through and read a lot more on these. And we have some... samples of these that we'll be putting in our one of the modules coming up really, really soon is the fatty acid testing module. And we have a lot of samples of these tests, so you can read about these things in more detail. Okay. And then quickly we'll go, oh, so this is her supplements. Oops. What happened to it? It was there a minute ago. What happened to it? There we go. So she's on Nature Throid. And so she does have a thyroid issue. And if she gets her gut fixed, it's going to help her thyroid, because the thyroid conversion happens in the gut. Well, 25% of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's taken lecithin. She's taken a lot of stuff.
I know.
Holy cow. Whoa, it really might be a good idea to get her that powder and let her cut down on some of this, these capsules.
Okay.
You know, this can be aggravating the gut. I mean, that's a lot of cellulose for the body to be trying to break down. And wow.
And that would be a lot of work to open them all up.
Oh, it would be a tremendous amount of work to open them all up. I would have her do the ashwagandha at bedtime instead of breakfast.
Okay.
Because it can, it's an adaptogen and can bring it down. And I think that's it.
Okay.
Okay.
And then, oh, did you want to take a quick glance at the genes?
Yeah, I'm looking for that one.
Say genetic.
Oh, this is a counseling? Did she have somebody?
Yeah, she did. But she was very disappointed.
Yeah, the GADs, that could keep her awake at night. The glutamic acid decarboxylase, so she could end up being low in GABA, but also it's related to the pancreas. And we look for antibodies to GAD when we're looking at autoimmune diabetes.
Okay. She has diabetes insipidus.
Insipidus is different. Insipidus mm-hmm. is the antidiuretic hormone, and that's more of a pituitary issue.
Okay.
How long has she had that? And I'd be looking at why does she have that?
I think it was just diagnosed like 6 months ago.
And she's peeing like a lot.
Yes.
And having to drink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And did she have a bump to the head? Does she have a tumor? Are there any of those things looked at?
She's had 3 significant car accidents and whiplash, and
there might have been some head trauma. That's very common.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Okay.
She's got, you know, her MTHFR, you know, this, the major one, C677T is normal, but she's got a heterozygous on there. Does she have homocysteine elevations? Usually they, you don't see that with this.
I'd have to go back and look at her blood.
I'm looking for the MTA. Here we go, MTRR.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
Where, this particular genetics report, where is it from?
She originally did 23andMe, but this was just run through this counselor's program. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
What software she used. Is that what you mean, Lynn?
Yeah, so she's got caffeine, but she's off of caffeine, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
With an exception of the matcha green tea. Should that be no?
You know, she's got the liver stuff. Matcha's good for that. But, you know, I'd probably take her off of it for a while.
Okay.
And just see, does it respond? Looking for some of the ones. Well, she's got some genes associated with Crohn's. Mm. So I would work at the stuff you have right now. Give it 3 months. You can redo the NutriVal or the parts of the NutriVal that feel like that were out of balance. And then if they're still not improving, I would be doing a stool test. But in the meantime, I would address bacteria dysbiosis. Not knowing what the bugs are, you can choose a couple of the antimicrobials. We have all of that's in the digestive module. Pick some of the antimicrobials for gut dysbiosis and then just alternate through them and possibly even look at biofilm just to shortcut it rather than waiting and saying, oh, that didn't work. Let's do biofilm. So look up all that stuff on biofilm and the bacterial and then do a plan to rotate it. Make sense?
Okay.
Just like, hey, here's some oregano oil. Take that for the next 6 months.
Right, right.
Yeah, really resistant.
Yeah, really okay. Resistant.
Okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. All right. So who do we have next? Let me look at my little sheet. I'm looking at the order in which they came in. Eleanor. Is Eleanor on the call?
She was.
Hi, I'm here.
Hi. Okay, good.
I was on mute on a cell phone, so I had to like go several layers before I could.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, I hear you. All right, shut these.
You know what I mean? Okay. Because
right.
I'm in a hotel room.
Oh, where are you?
Hello, I'm so glad I'm next. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, nice.
In a hotel room.
Good for you.
Yeah, thank you.
There.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm actually at a conference, and I'm going to be heading home tomorrow. And I realized, you know, from listening at the beginning, this may be an open coaching kind of a situation, but I would love to go through, you know, to see some things. Maybe there are some things I've been missing, but
yes,
this particular person, what?
You tell me.
I'm sorry.
And then I'll, you know, then
okay.
See where your questions lie. Go ahead.
Okay, so this person I've been working with for quite a while. There's 2 main issues historically that I've been working with her on. One is blood sugar, the other one is pain. And we've made a lot of progress, but there's a new thing that has come up that has really kind of thrown me, and it has to do with her iron level going down, but her ferritin is high, and her TIBC is normal, and you know, I'm getting kind of nervous with the ferritin being high because I know that stored ferritin can damage organs, right? So it just doesn't make any sense to me why her blood iron would be low, because it's over a period of time. It's not just one. If you look at her blood work, I gave you it. You can see I've been working with her for some time. And one thing, by the way, I wanted to ask, I heard this Nutrival, are you recommending that over the SpectraCell these days?
You know, I don't have, it depends on what you're looking for. SpectraCell is purely testing the micronutrients, and they're testing them in the white blood cells. And the Nutrival is testing the nutrients plus the oat test, so it includes an oat test plus the fatty acid test. They're very different price ranges. One, the Nutrival is around 600 something, whereas the Spectra is pretty high too. Isn't that about 400 and something? So whether one is better, well, other, I think the Nutrival is just much more complete. So
because I heard a lot of things from looking at the SpectraCell. I know it doesn't cover fatty acids and stuff like that. Right. But one of the things I've been working with her on is her B12. And so that's why I'm actually recommending she do a SpectraCell again and an MMA test for the B12. And I do have her on folate, even though her blood work doesn't show any need for folate, but she says she sees a difference right away in her nails whenever I give her folate. But the big thing I'm worried about is this iron situation. I'm very nervous. She's an 86-year-old woman. She has a history of family diabetes. She does monitor herself. We've gotten her off of a lot of foods by the blood monitoring. You know, she has a blood glucose monitor. And she over the years, we've removed foods from her diet. We've worked a lot on pain. I have her on systematic enzymes right now, which are helping with the pain. But there's a lot of things going on there. She's bone on bone in her knees. She has reflux in her legs. So, you know, she's 86 years old. But she's only on high blood pressure medicine, and that's only been in the last few years. Her bone density is actually pretty good. But the iron situation is the main reason why I wanted you to look at her. Mm-hmm. Blood work and give me some advice.
It's significantly changed. This is something I just really want to point out to people. It's just a gradual sliding decrease over time, but she was fairly consistent. She was actually high back, 2 years ago, right? 3 years ago.
Right.
From 6 months ago, not even 6 months ago, 4 months, from 12.5 to 4.13, she went from 66 to 37. So that makes me think, what's going on? Is there a blood loss? Is there some internal bleeding? Right? Is there something that's
and so she, happened? Yeah. So she did do the test, the scan to make sure it's not the ovaries or the female organs. The doctor gave her an all clear there. Her doctor has been trying to get her to do a stool test, but for some reason this doctor, the stool test comes to your house and it just never arrives. They try it 3 times. So that's, the doctor is nervous about that there's some kind of internal bleeding.
Some kind of internal
so she went.
Yeah. So I saw with her doctor on it, because that's an important piece. You don't want to, be working with somebody and seeing this kind of stuff. It's your obligation to get her to get in and get checked, right? Because that's outside of your scope.
Right, it definitely is. And so having, looking at the female organs first and then the stool, what other things should the doctor be looking for blood?
I'd look at her liver.
Yeah.
Because of the high ferritin. Yeah. Just the low iron and the ferritin was coming down too. So it's unlikely to actually be a bleeding thing. It could be, but it's not as likely as if the ferritin was also going down. But the ferritin went up, which means that the conversion pathway from iron to ferritin, for ferritin to iron, isn't working. The mobilization of the stored ferritin is not working. And that's usually a liver issue.
And
I've been trying to research
that. And that's a liver.
Some real specific stuff about that. But, you know, there's not a lot written about it, but we see it a lot. I see it a lot of times. I think it's a liver issue. Right? It's there.
Yeah, and, you know, Yeah, now, there is a inherited disease, the hemo, whatever, I can't even pronounce it. It's a big, long word. But I would think her, but I would think her iron, her blood
yeah, both of them would be high.
Right. Okay. So that's why I ruled it out, because her. Yep. So it, you do think it's the liver.
I do think it's the liver, not hemochromatosis, but something with that conversion. And, you know, we've been off and on because these things keep coming up. And then I spend an hour doing all kinds of research and come up with dead ends of, you know, nothing specific, like a look pathway. The other direction, when the iron is high and the ferritin is low, is oftentimes a melatonin deficiency. Okay, because melatonin is required to take the form of iron that's in the blood and convert it to the form that gets stored as ferritin. But the other direction, like I said, I've tried it like so many times. Every time this comes up, I spend an hour, do the research, and come up like empty-handed with any specific mechanisms. But definitely liver congestion, okay. I would be concerned about.
Okay. Okay. And so if it is liver congestion, which is that another way of saying that she has a fatty liver, or am I?
Well, you know, there's other markers for fatty liver. So see, her glucose is high. You said you've been working on it, but she still has a fairly high glucose.
Right.
Triglycerides are good. They're a little on the higher side, but they're fine. The triglyceride HDL ratio is, you know, her HDLs are low, so that's a sign of insulin resistance that comes. She got a 1.9 instead of ideally a 1.0. We'd look at her liver markers. Her liver markers all look good. AST, ALT, LDH she doesn't have. Alkaline phosphatase low, and it's been low forever, so I'd be really working on her zinc levels.
Yeah, I was going to go after B12 there, too. That's why I wanted to do the SpectraCell, because, you know, I hate to keep having her take the vitamins. I'm trying to find some way to show her, okay, this is really what you need, so let's take this. And that's why I was going to try to, I was recommending she do the SpectraCell.
Her protein's low, too, so I'd be looking at her stomach acid.
I think she's got a stomach acid issue, yeah. I do. But
she's
that
older,
happens with
and
aging,
as
right?
It happens with aging naturally, but you know, you don't want to have it accelerated. So I would be looking at helping her with that, some bitters, but the zinc, you know, without zinc, you can't make stomach acid. And she's showing indications of possibly having low zinc.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Some of the others. So the liver markers don't, you know, it doesn't look like fatty liver. It could be just, you know, some gentle liver detox, gentle liver cleanse type things, looking at some herbs to support it and whatnot. But this does concern me. You know, sometimes it's transient, you know, and sometimes it's not. So April, I would make sure that she gets retested for this in June at the latest, early June.
Okay.
Just to see if it's gone up. Let's look at her blood counts, right? So that's important. So her hemoglobin is 12.8 in spite of having the iron come down so much, but the hemoglobin's come down too. It was 14 to 12.8. Hematocrit is come down from 43 to 37. So there's definitely trending towards anemia. MCP
is
much
right.
better. So you're concerned about B12, but her MCP is much better. And it could be, here's the thing where you might be tricked and go, wait, she's had all this great, you know, all these high MCVs, which would suggest folate and B12 deficiency. Now it's good. But why is it good? Probably because she's an iron deficient on top of it. So it's superimposed. It makes you look like, oh yeah, B12 is good. But it's not really. It's probably because of the iron deficiency that's bringing it down.
Okay, I'm sorry I missed that. The B12, I know the serum B12, it can't really
but MCV,
you can't really go by that.
Right. MCV is a functional marker. And ever since this first test, 98, 95, 99, we want this to be below 90. She finally goes to 89. And we're like, oh, great, finally the B12 and folate are kicking in. But what brings it down? This drop in iron. That's bringing
you. Oh, okay. I got it. I caught it that time. good.
Just make sure that you don't get fooled. And her RDW, that's the other thing. If you've got, a good MCV, yay, but then you look at the RDW at 15.2, that's the mean distribution width. That's like saying that the variation in the size of her red blood cells is bigger than it should be.
Yes.
Outside of even the lab range, let alone the normal range. So that's saying that, yep, there's anemia here. It's probably superimposed both folate B12 and the other. So getting her off of it, probably not a good idea. And I often see high serum levels of B12 when we have low cellular level of B12 because it's not methylated, not activated. So I'd be careful with that. Does she have anxiety or anything like that?
No, the biggest thing that she has, she meditates every day, but she's, getting old and she gets, stressed out when she can't remember things or she thinks it's Thursday and it's Friday or it's Friday, she gets those things really, those are the type of things that stress her out, but she's, the things of oldness that she doesn't want, she wants to remain independent.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm
sorry. The reason I asked about that is because of being careful with methylated B12 and methylated folate because without seeing her genetics. So if she's got the COM-T.
Right.
Yeah, right. So we don't want to do that. But if she's fine with it, what kind of B12 do you have her on right now?
I've tried everything from Seeking Health. I now have her on a lozenger that's hydrocobalamin.
Yep.
Just to try something different. I keep trying everything different. But the big thing I'm going to do is do the MMA test. I'm trying to get her doctor to see if her insurance will cover an MMA test just so we can see intracellularly how is her B12. Does she have a B12, really have a B12 problem? Or is it really just the iron? I don't know. Her energy is, she's 86, so she falls asleep. She has to nap during the day and stuff like that. And she falls asleep from the TV at night, but I just don't know. She's 86, right? So I don't know how much of that I need to worry about.
So a couple of things I want to point out to you here, though. But her hemoglobin A1C went from 5.1 to 5.5 over the 4-month period. So that's saying her average blood glucose went from around 100 to 119 over the course of that month. So I'd look carefully and ask her carefully if there have been dietary changes. If not, then, stress and sleep and all that can be affecting it. So that's one thing. The other thing is she's never had a homocysteine done. We need to get
a homocysteine.
Like, let's see if there's some inflammation. Let's see if that B12 is actually putting her at risk by having her homocysteine elevated, which would impact the endothelial linings and the inflammation in the blood vessels, et cetera. Her C-reactive protein's good, but it's higher than it used to be, right?
All of a sudden, just this all last sudden, test, yeah.
Right? So something's going on in her. There's there's some kind of inflammatory process, some kind of infection, or some kind of bleeding loss. I mean, you want to make sure they rule out any kind of cancer based on her age, I'd be looking for that because these changes are significant. It's not a horrible test like, this person's, dying. No, it's just that it's changed a lot.
Yes, that's why I'm nervous. And and I certainly don't want her to have any kind of organ damage because of the elevated. Right. Because that's serious stuff there. Right. Okay, so
her levels. She might need B12 shots for a bit. Maybe she can get the doctor to give her some B12 shots to bring that down.
We just started. Yeah, we just started that. I just realized the doctor can easily do it for $30. Oh, and it costs her $30, and she's okay with that.
Good.
Yeah.
That can help a lot. The other thing, looking at the doses, you might be trying different brands, but have you tried up in the dose? Now, some people, I don't know her genetics, right? We don't know if she has a double MTHFR. We don't know what her MTRRs are, which affect B12. So I would be asking, if she's not going to get that, then you definitely want to look at the quantity. So if you're just giving her 1,000 micrograms of B12 and folate, that may not be enough based on her genetics. You see what I'm saying? So you can.
Yeah, I did try. On it. One thing I have varied is giving her the menthol and not menthol. I've tried without knowing the genetics. I've just tried to see if it made it. Didn't. She tells me she has more energy when she takes the B12.
Good, then so, have it take a little bit more. Just up it a little
bit.
And if you're taking, if she's doing the hydroxy, she can do the hydroxy and the methyl. And if she doesn't get anxious and she takes it, then she probably is okay. Right?
Okay.
Okay.
So I, you know, the one thing is I started her when the iron started going down, I started her on the iron supplements. She went off of them because she started getting dizzy. And now I've got her back on them. And one of the things I kind of confused her on, and I don't know why I thought that she should take them between meals, but now I realize she needs to take them with vitamin C or so she needs to take them with her meals and make sure she has some vitamin C with them. But I mean, how often would you give her the iron supplements? Am I going to aggravate one the other situation?
You know, you really need to keep digging to get to the root of this, but you can give her some iron. I would give her a really easily absorbed. You don't want to get constipated. So a food-based or the raw vitamin code or a liquid iron supplement, yellow dock as an herb. If she, you know, can take a tincture of yellow dock, that can often help. You can take it, you know, like you said, with vitamin C is important with meals to keep her from getting nauseous from it and just see how she goes. I mean, but the thing is, if you just have her iron without really looking at why, did she change her diet significantly? Is her absorption changed? I'm just concerned about it's the liver that keeps coming up for me because she's not converting the ferritin. You got plenty of ferritin, but it's not getting converted. So you might want to just do some research. Maybe you'll find something that I haven't found that shows what's involved. You want to know what the cofactors are that are involved in converting ferritin to iron. Make sense?
Okay. So, yes. And I just want to ask a stupid question, but how did the ferritin get high if she didn't have the iron to start with in the blood? I thought the ferritin was just the excess iron in the blood that's being stored. And that's
something
why that would make the ferritin.
Something caused that iron to ferritin pathway to go get converted. And it doesn't necessarily, it could be the form of iron. And I don't remember which one is ferric. I don't remember the exact ones, one's stored and one's not. But there's a breakdown in that mechanism, in that pathway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I got it. Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your conference.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
See, there's so much in our labs here. Is this hers? There's so much in the labs that none of the doctors are looking at. They're not looking at what it implies about the metabolic pathways that are going on and the nutrients going on, which is why I get so excited about reading them. So we have let me see if Susan was next. Brenda, Eleanor, June, and then Susan. Okay, so June. And June and Susan, you both, I think that, let's just go to, is Jenny on? Because Jenny, I think, might have had a quick question about this guy, if you have a quick question about the guy. But otherwise, I'm going to go to June and Susan, because you've had quite a number of cases recently, and June, I don't think has had any.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. This is Jenny.
Do you have something quick about this guy?
It's actually not quick. This is a very complicated case.
Okay.
I know I submitted 3 cases,
yes.
But it's okay if we don't review all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Because usually on these calls, we do 2. We do 2 to 3 because they take a long time. And you know, I kind of like to give everybody a chance to get a case done. So I've done a couple recently. But you know what? If you have cases where you have specific questions, like you're going through it, you get what's going on, and you have specific questions where you're stuck on, those are great for any of our calls. We have our INE office hours tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Next week we have an NEPT open coaching, and there's plenty of opportunity for that. So let me go to June, and then we'll come back around. Okay? Thank you, Danny.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, there's. I mean, I could stay on till midnight if everybody wants to do that, but I don't think it's going to serve any of us in terms of our adrenals and our insulin regulation, right? So let me see who was first, Susan or June. Let me find June's. I could tell by your numbers who was first. And please, please, please get these to us 48, preferably 72 hours in advance of a call, because there's a lot of work that goes in the background for us to take them from the way you submit them to get them into a form where we can show real well on here. I mean, just because I couldn't get these on my computer, this took a long time to get this set up. So it really would be good for us to do it that way. And we may actually have to have a cutoff. So June, let me open it up. June, are you on? Can you open up your line, June?
My mic was off.
Okay, there you are. Hi, June.
Hello.
Hey, and this is yours, right? This one is you as the patient? Great. Okay, so I'm not going to worry about the name then. Gave me permission. So you're 65, 5'5", 135, a holistic health coach, mom, wife, grandmother of 10. Holy cow. You're not old enough to be a grandmother of 10.
Six children.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Good for you. More than five. We don't even have a six, do we? We just have more than five. And you're not the only one with a lot of kids. We've got a lot of people with a lot of kids in this program. Lynn and Pam Neves. And who was it we spoke to 2 weeks ago who has 10 of them? Lynn, you'll help me out with that one. We talked to her on a call, the last call, and she had 10 of them. And she actually wrote back and said that things were a lot better after, you know, the suggestions we made. So
I think that was sweet spot. Yeah.
Oh, was that sweet spot? Okay, got it. It wasn't here. I remember. Yeah, you're right, because it was about her and not about a patient. So six happy babies, five boys and a girl, all married, but two boys, homeschooled. Again, another homeschooler, raised in the country. Now we have 10 grandchildren. Wow. Stress trying to help your number two son experiences trauma from a head injury. So your number two son experienced trauma. So that's one of your stresses, is trying to help him. Is that correct?
Right. Okay. Right.
2007. How is he doing?
It's up and down all the time. Yeah. But it's been like 10 years and he finally sat down with us to Thanksgiving dinner. Wow. But then he was so stressed that
wow,
couldn't handle, you know, because just he's been in and out of the mental hospital. It was just a real tragedy.
Sorry.
Yeah, he was successful in real estate and semi-truck driving, and then he had that head injury, and before that he had another head injury, and there's some freaky things happened, and he ended up in the court system. And
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so rather than him facing a felony and going to prison, he went to the mental hospital. So, you know, he's just a young man, you know.
Wow. 30s. Oh, that's stressful for you. And so you need to be taking care of you. And that's why he's a mom.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay. So you had car accident. You were hit on your side as a driver. You have some problems with your hand and thumb.
Well, I got a bone graft and a screw in my left hand, you know. So like with the exercises and that, I just baby it. Because they
that's not a major issue right now. So your major health challenges, what are your top three concerns? Constipation, under control with Trafala and magnesium, brain fog. No, I need to get bed earlier, exercise more, varicose veins, and knees. Okay, so if we had to pick one thing that you want to get solved, what's the top thing that you'd want to solve of all these things that you're not completely, because you said a lot of things, I know it's this, I know.
Yeah, probably my worst thing is the bad habit of going to bed like at 2 o'clock in the morning, and lately it's been worse than that, so...
I'm not the person to help you with that one. Sorry to say.
And I've been studying circadian rhythm and realizing, you know, that will help you more with creativity and things like that. So anyway, for a while that really helped me get to bed earlier, and then you get just caught up with deadlines and things, and that's when I get my things done. No interruptions.
Yeah. So, okay, but what would you like help with this today?
My tests, but I wasn't able to get them in the health tracker. I don't understand, like I'm low on iron, I'm low for a reverse T3, but I think that's okay for my thyroid. Otherwise, you know, there may be low, but according to the tests, they're...
Let's go back to the health tracker, because when we do these, we may want to defer you to the next one when you can get them all in the health tracker and actually use the software, the blood chem software, to put it in, because it's a great learning tool and it tracks it. Because if I think yours was the one where you gave me all these scanned things.
Yeah, I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah, so here's what I'm going to have you do. I want you to go to the call next week with Lynn, the orientation call, and she's going to help you show you exactly how to get these things into the health tracker. Would that work for you, Lynn? Yeah. Yeah, she's like, yeah. And she'll show you how to get into the blood chem software too. So remember to ask her when you come to that call. So in case she forgets, because she'll be busy doing her thing. But it's really easy. I won't even look at labs unless they're in there anymore. I just won't, because it's a waste of my time. You know?
It just takes so long. I can see that.
I always ask questions though. So there's always time and room for asking questions.
Yeah. So she'll take you through that and make sure, because that's a tool that you want. If you're going to be running labs on your family members, even, or your clients, you want to use that health tracker for the rest of your life. You may not have access to the blood chem software unless you go and pay them after you're finished with the program. They, you know, they make you buy it then, but they gave us, you know, how expensive that thing is. I mean, that's like $67 a month.
Is that a company?
It's a company. Company. And when we ask them, can I share my account with the students and how can we do this so that they can learn from it? He said, yeah, sure. And he gave everybody an account.
Oh.
Like, okay, that's pretty generous. And it's a great learning tool because you put the numbers in and then you can click on anything and find out what it means.
What lab is that that does that?
It's through Dick and Weatherby. And they just call it Blood Chem Software.
Okay.
So you have access to it. Lynn will show you how to get in. You have access to it. They've given it to all of our students for free.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And it's a great learning tool. Anybody who's used it wants to pipe in and just confirm that. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And my spreadsheet, I will say, is really pretty darn phenomenal as well.
I also want to add that when people graduate, they have said that we can have the pro accounts, but at student rates.
Oh, nice. Nice.
They're really good.
They've been really generous. I was like one of the first people when he first announced it, I was on the call and I was like, I'm buying that. Right. And he even remembered when we connected, he goes, oh, you were one of the very first people to sign up for it. I'm like, yeah. And I know labs, but I've gotten better and better at them. The more I look, you know, if I'm not sure about a certain thing and you look it up, what does low mean? What does high mean? And they do these, all these interpretations that give you really nice statistical things like, oh, well, this combination with this suggests a B12 deficiency or a B1 deficiency. Beautiful. Or adrenal insufficiency based on these markers. It's an excellent software. Highly recommend it.
Do you know what the student rate is, Lynn? By any chance? Just curious.
I know I got grandfathered in at $67 for high-end program, and it's probably, I don't know.
Yeah, I just remember thinking it was between $75 and $100.
So here's the thing, right? If you're running it on 2 or 3 people a month.
But that's when you graduate.
And you graduated, you're seeing people on a regular basis, and you charge them, because you charge them for that report.
Okay.
So you say, you know, say that we're going to run your labs and I'm going to give you a report. It's going to be $50. You easily pay for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got one big question.
Yeah.
In my test shows I'm H. pylori.
Oh.
And, you know, that was a blood lab test through my doctor. And I'm just, you know, I didn't think I'd have anything like that. But anyway.
With H. pylori, we have our resident H. pylori expert. I saw Steph on there a little while ago. If Steph wants to pipe in and add, have you been through the digestive module yet?
I'm working on it.
Okay,
yeah.
H. pylori is sometimes silent. right? It's just there. It can create leaky gut. It can cause a dysbiosis, and it can cause havoc in the digestive tract. Now, it's a normal inhabitant. So if it's in balance, but if you're having any issues with your low nutrient levels, any kind of digestive issues, autoimmune issues, inflammation issues, it's something that probably needs to be looked at.
Like, I was taking HCL, but then with the training, one of the first trainings I heard, no, that's a no-no. And I was just finishing up my first bottle because I went through two different trainings and they were all telling me HCL, you know, for bloating.
Yeah, if you don't have HCL.
And then it makes it go deeper. So now I'm doing just dill and fennel. I do good, better with that than vinegar even. But it seems like it's pretty much under control. But I was taken for natural antibiotics because I refused what my doctor wanted to do for me, you know. So I was doing Golden Seal, Astralagus, mm-hmm. and Echinacea. I did those three. I did that for a month because those
now are you natural. Did this for what purpose? What were you trying to get rid of?
To use them as natural antibiotics for this H. pylori. I was going through an herbal training, and one of the ones that knew what, you know, understood that sort of thing, that's what she said, go on that. So I was taking that tincture. I did that for a month, and then they say, you know, to rotate things. So now I've been doing, which is more convenient for me, is first, and you do this on an empty stomach. I've been researching it quite a bit, and do this on an empty stomach, Clydal Silver and Tahibo. So I've been doing that on an empty stomach. And then in the evening, I take a probiotic. Plus, I've been doing my kefir and my krauts and things like that. But it seems pretty much under control. Oh, and then I added zinc. And when I'm doing the zinc, I ran out of zinc. And then I kind of sensed it coming back again. Because that's supposed to help you make the HCL. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I just wanted to run that by you and see what you thought.
I mean, it sounds like there's some good stuff there. It's not my typical approach to H. pylori. I've had good results with mastic gum. Steph does these little elixirs. It's something gummy to get in there with it, and then antimicrobials.
Uh-huh.
She's not anymore, so I can't speak to some of the other things that she does, but I usually do the mastic gum.
Okay, I've read about it, but I didn't buy it yet.
Yeah.
Maybe using that with what else I'm doing or something, even or by itself, do you think? Or
no, you could use it with the other stuff. But be careful with the antimicrobials to rotate. Otherwise, the bugs just, you know, have a field day, become desensitized, and then you waste your money feeding them.
And they say that if one's got it, the whole family's most likely got it.
It could be, yeah. Absolutely. So that's why they do the triple therapy, the medical, they do the antibiotic, they do, what's that stuff called? It's like bismuth. They do bismuth. They do the triple therapy, the antibiotic, they do a proton pump inhibitor. And I forget the third one, maybe it's bismuth, but, you know, it doesn't really get to the root cause. So you really want to get to why did you develop the H. pylori? Were you exposed to it? What's going on? So what you're doing is more building it up, right? You're using things to help build it up and get the probiotics in there and get your flora good, whereas that's what they don't do at all on the medical protocol. So, you know, you could, if you're going to do it, figure on doing it for 3 months and then retesting.
And what test? Now, this is a blood lab test, and my insurance.
Now, if I came up positive, see, here's the thing. We can switch tests, but then we're comparing apples and oranges. So if you did a blood test, and it came out positive, you want to do the blood test again to see if it comes out negative. If it does, it doesn't mean it's necessarily gone. And that's when you could go to do the stool test the next day.
And it can keep coming back the way it sounds, too.
It can. Yeah, it can.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure I inherited it because I can, you know, thinking back, I can remember my mom, you know, just having that indigestion and that. And so.
Well, it gets passed on. I don't know if it's inherited so much as transmitted.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why you're looking at your family members, right? All six of those kids, right? if they're living at home, many of them are living at home with you, you could be passing it. And
You know, I've been reading like 50% of the population's probably got it and they don't have it, or even a higher percentage.
Yeah, and you know, it is a normal inhabitant. It's only when it goes out of control that it's a problem.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Okay?
Good.
Thank you. Yeah, so Lynn will teach you how to get those into the tracker, and then you can resubmit the tracker and we'll take a look at it for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Great. You're welcome. So let me see. Okay, so we have that one. We have Susan, are you on?
I am.
All right, let's see. So Susan, what just happened? You don't get this. There we go. All right, so I'll do that so we can see more of it. So we have Susan has a case, and it's a, let's see. Oh, this is just a submission, right? I don't see the full history. Okay, so tell us who this is and what you would like help with.
Okay, so this is a 57-year-old female who I'm just getting her head wrapped. She's an acupuncturist, and she's avoided seeing any doctors for the past 15 years. Mm-hmm. But what she's been suffering from is some pretty severe bone loss. She's mm-hmm. had to have many teeth pulled. She went into early menopause, and at the same time, she lost a lot of hair.
Mm-hmm.
So she's got very, very thin hair. She has allergies. She has post-nasal drip.
Mm-hmm.
She has joint pain, and she has some gut issues. She goes in and out of constipation to loose stools. So this was the genetic test was something that I could get her head wrapped around doing right away. And in the meantime, you know, since then we've taken her to the doctor. We got some blood tests ordered, and I hope to get those into the lab tracker. But the, you know, we ran the genetics, and I, you know, honestly, I don't see a lot of relationship in the genetics so far. Okay. So I'm looking forward to your interpretation in terms of what she suffers from.
All right. So let's just kind of take a step back when you're working with people and there's something suddenly comes on, right? You always want to look at what was happening within that few months to a year before it came on in terms of travel, new home, new carpeting, specific stresses, losses, things like that. So it's really important to look at that period, you know, a few months to a year before they started to become ill and started to show symptoms. So given that, do you know enough about her to know if there were any things that shifted in that period?
Well, what I know about the early menopause and hair loss is that her aunt had it. So there seemed to be a genetic link there. And the bone and tooth loss has to do with the fact that she was given a high amount of antibiotics as a child. Mm-hmm. Along with steroids.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, does she, what's her diet like? Does she have a clean diet, or is she still on a lot of the stuff that could be affected?
Well, she stays away from sugar. You know, she's an acupuncturist. She actually teaches Chinese herbs at the New England School of Acupuncture. So her diet is pretty good, although I think it's very carb heavy. We just got a hemoglobin A1C ordered because I'm thinking that she might have some insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. She's staying away from sugar now because she just had two more teeth pulled.
Off gluten? Because gluten is very highly associated with osteoporosis and teeth problems.
She's not 100% off of gluten.
Okay. So here's what I want to give you in terms of assuming, you know, like going beyond diet before actually coming to really say stabilizing it. We assume that somebody's an acupuncturist, they're a nutritionist, they're a functional medicine doctor, they know how to eat, their diet's clean, and it actually isn't. And so there's tons of studies that associate gluten intake even if it's just every now and then, we all know that being off of it completely means having it out of your system for 6 months. And if somebody's never been off of it for 6 months, they could be having effects from that. So that's something I would look at. The okay. sugar is obviously recent because of, you know, you just said she's getting off of it. So mm-hmm. I'm looking at her hemoglobin A1C. Mm-hmm. I always go to the basics with people, especially with the stuff, the foundations, but also gut. Looking at her gut, looking at what's going on, look at her gut function. How often is she eating? How's her microbiome? All of this stuff is going to play into the metabolism in such a way that she could be having bone and tooth loss. Mm-hmm. So those are the things I would be starting with. I mean, starting with genetics, we can look at it, but without really looking at the big picture, having a full lab analysis, it's... Yeah. Right, quite makes sense. When I run my NEPT ERC program for people, we go through everything else and then we look at the genetics. We don't look at the genetics first.
Okay.
Right? So you want to do everything you can because, you know, and it's tough working with another professional because they think they know.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely. You know, and it's weird because the gut function thing didn't even come up until I was sitting with her in the doctor's office. I had to accompany her to the doctor's office. That's how much she didn't want to go. She's scared of the doctors. But getting back to how much she eats 2 meals a day and that's it.
Okay. Well, if they're good meals, that's not a problem. How old, what's her weight and height?
She's 57, she's 5'3", and she's 120 pounds.
Okay, so she's at a reasonable weight for her size, and she's 57, which is, you know, that perimenopausal, postmenopausal, early postmenopausal range. Things do shift, and here's the thing. It doesn't mean that it's because of menopause. It means that it's exaggerated by menopause, right? Mm-hmm. And so things might be going along, and they're getting away with certain things and certain imbalances, and suddenly... voila. So I'm assuming she hasn't had any recent blood work. She hasn't had her thyroid tested.
No. But just to remind you, she had menopause at age 40.
Oh, she had it at age 40.
That's yeah. And that's when she had the hair loss. And she said that her aunt had the same thing.
Okay. So early menopause seems to come in the history, and we can look at the genetics and see if there's anything that stands out for that.
Mm-hmm.
And you said she has, so it's a hair loss and then the bone loss. How does she know she's got the bone loss? Did she do a DEXA?
She had a bone density test done about 15 years ago. And at that time, she was diagnosed with osteoporosis and they wanted to put her on medication. And then she just went into denial.
Okay. Did she go into denial and then use her arsenal of Chinese herbs and get acupuncture and do the stuff that in that system would work? Because if that's the case, then she needs to go get another test done to see if she's made a change. But if she just went into denial and ignored it and kept doing whatever she was doing, then chances are good that it got worse.
You know, according to her, she did use the herbs and she does get acupuncture done regularly. She's, you know, really a very active yogi. She does Feldenkrais, so she's physically very active that way.
So I would look at an NTX test.
Okay. We ordered one of those. We
ordered one of those or OsteoNex through Genova. So I'd look at that to see what the metabolism is. Is she building or is she breaking down bone? See where that's at. If she's going in the negative direction, then you need to do the lifestyle and diet and supplemental things to move her in the right direction. There are a lot of things, you know, the Chinese medicine can have a lot of that, but I have really good results with nettles, horsetail alfalfa, and sometimes oat straw. I'm just sometimes leave the oat straw out in case of an oat intolerance, but those can work. And I had somebody who was diagnosed with osteoporosis and she didn't want to do the Fosamax. And she talked to me, she was a friend of mine. And she goes, look, I don't want to do all that crazy stuff you do. I just want to do a few things. So she was willing to do a green smoothie every day. She was willing to do the those herbs. And she said she naturally, as she started doing that, cut back on sugar. She wasn't deliberately doing it, but she cut back on sugar. And 6 months later, she had improved her bone loss. She had improved her bone density. So this kind of stuff works if you do it. But mm-hmm. you have to be off of the things that are negative. Like anything that's acidifying, looking at her diet in terms of acid alkaline.
Right? Okay.
where she's at. She needs to be in the 80-90% from the alkaline side of that chart, right? Stress, what's her stress levels? You know, the acupuncture can certainly lower her stress levels. Is she a yoga teacher or whatever else she does that she can, you know, she can actually do this stuff to reduce the stress. But that's a big piece of it, as you know.
Yeah, no, she's very low stress.
Okay, good, good. There is, we have in the program, there's a bone health piece. There's two places where you can find that. One would be at the recent SIV materials, but the other is in the foundations from ERC that you all have access to. At least Mastery does, which you are.
Okay. So
if you don't know where that is, you don't have any trouble, Lynn can help you find it.
Okay. But
in the nutrition part of the seven pillars of the foundations, and there's a lot of good stuff in there on eating for bone health and the supplementation lists, right?
Okay.
There's good resources out there, Strong Women Stay Young, and what's her name? Brown. Susan Brown's site, the Better Bones, Better Body, all have very good. And then there's another woman that does bone stuff that's pretty good. So those are good resources for her to help build that back up. But you want to look at why. So she went through menopause at 40. Like, you know, maybe there is a genetic thing going on there. Maybe it was premature menopause for some whatever reason. And really, I'd be looking at her thyroid and adrenals.
Yep.
Because those contribute big time to bone loss and to hair loss. Mm-hmm. Right, and get her on some of the elixirs. She's willing to do it. That can be helpful as well. Fatty acids are important, so making sure her fatty acids are up to speed. So,
okay.
Let's see if we can get this one to show. All right, so this is her genetic genie. For those of you who have not seen these before, this you run the 23andMe. Genetics, they give you this raw data file. You download the raw data and you put it up into this genetic genie. And we all have access to it again via our Vibrant Living member site, which is our consumer side. So we all have access to that. And if you need help finding it, then again, come to the orientation call and Lynn will help you for sure. So CYP1A2, and we actually have a really good chart in that module. In fact, I can put a link to that chart. Services, and it's, it's my sites, Vibrant Living Member. And I'll show you real quick where that is. Because it's a really nice chart. Remember earlier I said there's certain charts you want to download and print in a book? This is one of them. So do you recall what that one, the one you marked? She has a, I can't remember if it was heterozygous or homozygous. Let's see. Yes, heterozygous. Yellow is heterozygous, meaning one gene that's the normal, also called wild type if you're doing genetics research, and one is the risk allele, which is means that it's the one that could be causing symptoms or problems. This is actually a very good-looking thing. She only has that one.
Yeah.
This is the one related to caffeine metabolism. Ooh, SOD. So that's a super... and NAT is related to certain drug metabolites that she doesn't manage certain drugs. She's clearly not that's a problem because she's clearly away from them, right? But superoxide dismutase is actually a pretty potent and important antioxidant. And there are ways to get superoxide dismutase cream to help bring those levels up. It's a manganese dependent enzyme, so manganese levels are super important here. And I believe that the 1A2 is related to caffeine metabolism and estrogen metabolism, if I'm not mistaken. So I am going to la di da di da. So what do you think that did you look up the 1A2?
It's actually, I have it all on the metabolic healing report and I can't access it because I've got this on my screen.
Oh, okay. Let me just show everybody where to find this and I'll put a link in the chat to this. So there's a little spreadsheet that I put together that gives little descriptions of each of these.
And I highly recommend if you're doing a many, do that. Yeah, the metabolic healing works really well as well if you get that one done. Here we go. So it's here, genetics interpretation. So this is the detox and this is the methylation. And if I open up that file, I can give you the copy of this in our chat. And this is one of those that you really just want to keep, print out, keep it on your, I keep it in a notebook next to me so I can go through it. And then we can go.
Oh, you're right, it's caffeine.
It is caffeine, yeah. I've done enough of them that I was pretty sure, but I didn't want to say for certain. And this is the one for the methylation. Okay, so does she drink coffee, green tea, chocolate, eat chocolate, that kind of stuff?
She doesn't do chocolate anymore. She doesn't do coffee. She does mostly herbal teas. I think from time to time green tea, but that's not her predominant.
She's not a high, and she's a heterozygous, which means, you know, occasionally it's not going to hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So weren't you the one that had the, oh, you had the alcohol one and you were heterozygous and we gave you the background on one of our calls. Yeah. Yeah, so the SOD, you know, you look that one up. If you look at the SOD in here, right, you go here and you scroll down. SOD, superoxide dismutase, right there, is an enzyme that protects cells. So oxidative stress-free radical damage, so all that can lead to hair loss. Affects the mitochondria, the DNA, iron superoxide dismutase, mutations associated with cardio stuff, premature aging.
Huh.
Okay. That might be the premature menopause, right?
Right.
Okay. There you go.
Now you were saying that it's a manganese dependent enzyme.
Yep.
Manganese. But you mentioned a delta something antioxidant that she could be taking.
SOD, superoxide dismutase. That's what SOD is.
Yeah, but you were talking about a cream, an antioxidant.
Oh, yeah, you can find, yeah, there's a, you can go and just go search for SOD cream.
Okay.
Hard to take it orally. It does, it breaks down, but cream-wise, it works pretty well.
Okay.
Okay. It's also in Apex Energetics has OxyCell, and OxyCell right. has glutathione, SOD, catalase, and
so okay. Okay.
So that could be a good option too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So let's go back to this one. So we'll close this one because we got that one. So this is Ruth again. Let's just go down here. And this is the 39 pager. So this must be the.
It's either MTHFR support or metabolic healing.
All right. Let's see. Metabolic healing. So metabolic healing, metabolichealing.com, a great place to run that raw data to. They cost about $40, $35, $40, but really, really good report because I like it because it's organized by the different body systems. Some of them, they don't give you a lot of detail on, but they give you enough and they look at it this way. So when I'm thinking someone's losing hair, I'm starting to think of things related to adrenal health and thyroid health and mitochondrial health. So I'd be wanting to look at all these different genetics. So this takes that same pathway and runs it through. So she's got some issues with FUT2, which means that you may want to be looking at bifidus for her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not going to really be good. She's, you know, she only got one. I have six of these. He only shows three, but there's six of them on the MTHFR support one. I have all six. So, you know, I wonder why I crave and, you know, scarf down probiotic foods. PEMT, phospholipids. So things like choline, phosphatidylcholine. She may have trouble with her adrenals. Phosphatidylserine is a thing that helps to keep the levels of cortisol where they need to be. Let's see what else.
I'm pretty sure she's got a thyroid issue. That was the first thing that that came to mind.
Yeah.
Her mother has it as well. She's hypo.
Okay. Yeah. GAD makes her a little anxious. So that's good that she met that. She
meditates and does a lot of yoga.
She would be in bad shape if she didn't. I know, cause I have a whole bunch of these too. And I know that, you know, heart math and meditation are my salvation. She's got a double heterozygous COMT. So you just be careful when you're giving her B12 and folate in a methylated form, because it could cause a backup and could cause some anxiety, especially with that GAD. Then she's going to be meditating even more. MAO. Yeah, that's good that she's doing what she does. She's also got the MAO, right? All related to anxiety and her stuff. DAO is histamine related thing. So does she have any issues with histamines, with getting red after she eats, or, you know, flushing or hives or anything like that?
No, but now I remember she mentioned something to the doctor about having a rash on her forearm, that the rash comes and goes. So that would make sense.
That could be a histamine response. Absolutely. MTHFR, double heterozygous, you know, all the things related to methylation and getting rid of heavy metals and DNA repair and folate and B12 synthesis and red blood cell production. And if you go into any of our presentations on this, you're going to see lists and lists and lists of things that this could be related to. So it's important to get the folate in there, lots of green leafy vegetables. Hopefully she does eat that. That's also going to be good for bone health as well. Just be careful when supplementing because of her other genetics to just slowly if you're giving her methyl. So if you're recommending methyl, I would get the Seeking Health liposomal and just start with drop dose till you hit where she could go, and let her know to look for feelings of, you know, that anxiety kind of feeling or dread or irritation, irritability, like you're going to chop somebody's head off.
Okay.
Okay, we talked about the GIDs, we talked about the COMTs. So she's got a lot of neurotransmitter stuff, the dopamine beta hydroxylase, the monoamine oxidase. So meditate, keep on meditating because she needs it, and get lots of acupuncture, right? Her ApoE is 2-3, so she's in a good state with ApoE. Mm-hmm. Concerned with ApoE4-4s and saturated fats, even ApoE3-4s, got to be careful. The 2-2s and the 2-3s are, you know, there's not, you know, much of an increased risk of Alzheimer's or cardiovascular disease. So that is okay. Heart health. Yeah, they show the MTHFRs again. CBS, which has to do with the sulfation pathways, and that might be related to the superoxide dismutase is that whole end of the pathway where the glutathione and SOD and manganese and all that are. So manganese could be a really good thing for her to look at the manganese foods, see what she can incorporate, and maybe some extra manganese.
Okay,
let's see. So there he talks about the MTHFR, the CBS, right? B6 can be important for this because did she test her homocysteine?
We ordered that.
Yeah, so look at her homocysteine. If her homocysteine is not elevated with the heterozygous, then it could be the CBS is pulling it down. It's overactive oftentimes, the CBS. So when you expect to see, which is a good thing, but then what it can cause is some extra sulfur groups that build up and then a sensitivity to sulfur. So watch for that in terms of garlic and onions. Ask if those upset her, the sulfur kind of foods. Does she try to take MSM and can't? That would suggest that she's got a sulfur sensitivity. And this would be involved with that. You know, sometimes low nitric oxide can relate to leaky gut, but certainly can be related to cardiovascular. And exercise increases that. So a great way to increase nitric oxide is that, yeah, she's got two of them. So got to be careful with her arginine foods, right? Arugula is a great one. Spinach, beets, those sorts of things help to increase the arginine and increase the nitric oxide.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's got certainly has some things related to, so here, insulin utilization, like looking at her, right? Yeah, and energy. So, you know, if a mitochondria, we talked about this earlier in the call, right? If the mitochondria are having problems, you're going to have low energy all over. So that's going to affect the hair follicles. It's going to affect the thyroid. It's going to affect everything, right? So it's really important. And looking at some of those nutrients in that pathway. I mean, it sounds like she's someone who doesn't want a lot of intervention. But something like the NutriVal might be good down the road. You know, get her on some, you know, look at some basic stuff and see what's going on. But then the NutriVal might be something that she might want to consider. I mean, it's a $600 test. So,
yeah,
you know, it's not like the, something that we're going to do over and over. So this is the one we looked at before. Interesting that this one doesn't, this one didn't show in the other 1B1. And I don't know if it's the same RSID. I'd have to open that one again. Let me see if I can open that one again. Genetic Genie. 1B1. So you look at the RSIDs when you're comparing. Is it 105-6836? Let's see. 105-6836. 105-6836. So they're reporting it opposite. There are a few like this where some reports are reporting the two as heterozygous and homozygous, and others are reporting it as normal. The research is really confusing. And I don't know which this is. I'd have to do some research to see, you know, talking to Michael McAvoy, who put this report together, where he got that information, and, you know, kind of play it out to see which is right. Right.
Right.
So look at the 1B1. The 1B1 is related to also might be caffeine metabolism. Yeah. Well, you know, so they're very close. So
okay.
Either way, I'd be careful. I'd really be careful with caffeine with her.
Well, there's some estrogen stuff here too.
Well, it has to do with this pathway, the 4-hydroxylation of estrogen.
Okay.
And then she also has the COMT, which is going to be predisposing her to difficulty with breaking down the estrogen and getting rid of the 4-hydroxy. If
okay.
you remember any of our talks where we looked at the pathway of the estrogens, the 4-hydroxy is the, it's basically the most dangerous one. It's pro-carcinogenic. So it's really something to be careful about. So that's why I would say stay away from the caffeine, because it can affect the breakdown and elimination of that 4-hydroxyestrogen.
Okay.
And the COMT is related to that catecholamine O-methyltransferase. It actually is involved in that metabolic breakdown.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I'll be careful on caffeine. I have to come back. 2D6 again, opposite on the other one, right? 2D6. Said it was normal. So these are good ones to. Can you make a note of this for me, Lynn? Because I'm not going to remember to do them. I don't know, where is it? There it is. I thought this was 2D6 shows up as normal what here.
Which one did you want to make a note of?
To look at the CYP1B1 and this 2D6, to look at the discrepancy between genetic genie and the metabolic healing. One's reporting it as homozygous. It's still a CC, right? But it's looking, let's look at the which one is actually, sorry, I keep finding it. Okay, so the 2D6, the RS, 1135840 and 1134850 or 40. Is it this one? 1135840. Give me a second.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. So there we are. Yep. Yeah, so there's a discrepancy there. So then if we look this up, that's why I say keep these charts handy. If you look this up in my chart, then you can get a lot more information. I mean, of course you can do it, look at his report, but he may not have as much information as we have here. Maybe he does. 1D, 2D6. Yeah. so prescription drugs, so that, you know, she's not at risk here because she's scared to death of doctors and prescription drugs. So she's unlikely to look. But whenever you have somebody with the problem with the 2D6, you want to take a look at this page in Wikipedia. Has a, you know, just lists of drugs. So they just want to be careful about, because the average person who just pops pills, you got to let them know that they have some genetic things that may make it difficult for them to metabolize that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And let me see what he has to say. Some of these is the report. What I interesting about this report, it's like real detailed at the beginning, and towards the end, they start to get a little bit
sick. Yeah, it sort of cacks out.
You notice that? It's like,
yeah.
Wow, what happened to all that great information? Gone. It is, again, the sulfur pathways. So being careful about the sulfur pathways. And he didn't even do the CYP. He just says it's degradation of toxins.
Yeah.
It's up to you to look up. So you can use my chart for that. There's no one report that does it all. One of these days, I'm going to hire somebody to just sit down and do it and make a really nice chart. But I've done several of these charts. So you've got those two. The last shine on day three, we did them. But also in CMDS, the digestion, there's a module called the genetic markers of digestion. And in the insulin program, there's also the genetic markers there. Those are charts you want to print out and have them handy when you're looking at these things.
Okay.
Okay. And that's where that MTHFR support report comes in handy, because it's just 49 pages of lists, and you can usually find most anything that you want in there. If you can't, then you have to go into the raw data and do a search, which is a pain.
Because it's a total pain.
It's a total pain. And you don't know. It just shows CC. Now, CC, I don't know if that's heterozygous or normal, right? I only know that there's a problem if I see, you know, a CT, like there's two different letters. I go, okay, well, I know that that's a heterozygous, but you can't tell normals from homozygous in there. And it's really hard. So I give a lot of credit to people who do these reports, because it takes a tremendous amount of research and blood, sweat, and tears to find them. Yeah. So she's got, let me see what he says about the salt. So do it. Yeah. Interesting. I have to keep that one in mind. I have to add that one to my chart.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one to know about. But she has that, and you talked about insulin resistance, and insulin resistance related to PCOS. So
yeah.
I think insulin resistance is a biggie, and you know, it can cause bone loss and another good reason to get off gluten. SOD, so this even shows more of them than the other report. There's three different ones, and she's homozygous, heterozygous. So SOD is super, super important for her. Super important, whether you go with the oxycell or look for the cream, for sure look at the manganese as well.
Okay.
Okay? I think you got some good stuff to go on. I'm looking to see what else you should go. Yeah, so this is tough, because if we look at the picture, he doesn't show the pictures. That's why I like Ben Lynch's, because he shows the pictures, but his isn't as detailed, and he doesn't have as many. So it's just like we need a report that combines
that has everything. I know.
All in one place, because I end up, getting people and doing these reports and spending like $90 to $100 to
get
several of them. Even that, though, it's still much less expensive than doing the individual genetic tests. So, what else do we have? CONT, that. Dopamine and epinephrine, but also estrogen. So he doesn't mention that here, but it's important in the breakdown of estrogen as well. The GA.
What was that, the MAO?
No, the COMT.
Okay.
Where'd it go? Yeah, the MAO's more strictly neurotransmitter. As is the GAD related to GLU. So she's potentially got a problem with GABA, with serotonin, and with dopamine. So if this woman was not into acupuncture and all this, she'd be a basket case.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she loves doing restorative inverted poses, right?
Yeah.
So that's going to pump up her norepinephrine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which she needs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. MTRR, you know, this is related to the B12. So, you know, looking at the B12, but again, whenever you're looking at B12 and folate supplementation, you start with the small amounts of the methyl, you can always get them on, especially if they've got these SNPs, you can get them on decent levels of like hydroxy or adenosyl. Probably I would do you can do both, but adenosyl is really mitochondrial related. So that's going to step up the energy production.
Okay.
I've seen people get really good results with the adenosyl. And then you can also do the methyl, but go slowly with the methyl. So get them on a decent dose. I've even put people on as much as 2,000 micrograms a day.
Okay.
Adenosyl, especially with something like this, because there's energy metabolism wonked here.
Okay.
Okay. And then you can just slowly build up the methyl, but watch, you know, she says, gosh, just ask her to look for it, right? You're starting to feel a little agitated, irritable, like you want to chop somebody's head off. Then you back off because it's just pushing against that COMT pathway.
Okay.
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 There's the DAO again. Does she have PMT? Yeah. Phospholipids. Cell membranes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Follicles, the whole hair thing could be related there as well. But given her genes, this woman's doing really well.
She's doing incredibly well. Yeah.
You know? Vitamin D, you know, make sure you test that on the blood and she's out with that. Because the FUT2 will also affect vitamin D metabolism and make you need more.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Woohoo. There's more. But wait, there's more. Yeah, I think that's enough for tonight. I'm going to just look through and see cholesterol. Yeah, I mean, she does have to be really careful with her diet because of some of these. The ApoE was okay, but she has a couple of others that are related to lipid transport and the nitric oxide. So, you know, just make sure she's aware that she just needs to stay on a great diet. She's not one of these people who can cheat.
Right.
Right, without bad results. And that's kind of where I stand with it because, you know, I'd probably be dead by now if I didn't change my diet when I was in my 20s. Let's see what else might stand out. Vitamin A. Again, if you see people with the vitamin A that is here, vitamin A affects thyroid receptors. So you can have somebody with perfectly normal thyroid levels and they don't have enough thyroid function because the receptors are wonked. So homocysteine, high homocysteine can affect that. So can low beta carotene, low vitamin A, preformed vitamin A. And this particular gene helps the person to take the vitamin A and the beta carotene converted to vitamin A, right? So it's something to keep in mind. I have that. I have similar to this. And I just periodically take vitamin A. I don't do it every day, but it's fat soluble. So periodically I muscle test myself and I just take maybe, you know, 5 to 10,000, maybe even 10 to 20,000 IUs. Instead of taking 5,000 a day, I might take, you know, every couple of weeks, take 20,000. And
okay.
It's fine. And there's some days I muscle test myself thinking I need it and I don't. So, you know, I know it's one of those things that you don't have to take every day, but it's good for an occasional thing. Okay, I think so some of these just fall into a lot of categories. So we've talked about them already. Aromatase. Androgen to estrogen. Upregulation of aromatase. So you remember what aromatase is?
No.
Okay. So aromatase is an enzyme that converts from testosterone to estrogen.
Okay.
A lot of people have excess aromatase and it's people who have estrogen dominance.
Huh. Okay.
Who start to get the little boobies as they start to age. Their testosterone starts to drop. Their estrogen goes up because they're over converting. There's substances called aromatase inhibitors. There's drugs that do it, but there's also herbs, DIM, I3C,
okay,
vegetables, all that stuff, really important for people with this. So, you know, it'd be a good thing just for protection, given her genetics, is lots of cruciferous vegetables.
Okay.
Just not over the top because of the sulfur, right? You wouldn't want her drinking cabbage juice. But you wanted to eat, you know, good amounts of these vegetables on a regular basis.
Okay.
Okay. MTHFR we talked about. There's your ApoE. And there you go. All right. Any questions?
No.
Was that helpful?
Very much so.
Great. Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
All right. So let's do Jenny. Let me find Jenny's. There's Susan's. I'll close Susan's. Close all the Susan's. Jenny. Here's Jenny. Okay. So Jenny, you there still?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. Okay. So let's look at this one.
Yes.
All right. So do you want to give us a rundown of this guy and tell us who he is, what's his problem, and what your thoughts are so far?
Yes. Well, he is 74 years old. He is a professional pianist. So he has been suffering from tremors. For a few years, but I think over a year ago, it started getting a lot worse than before.
Yes.
Yeah, so he and I started working together last summer, and I noticed a lot of tremors. He said he visited the neurologist, but nobody has diagnosed him officially.
Oh, so he doesn't have an official Parkinson's diagnosis. He's just...
Yeah, that's right. Okay. That's right, yeah.
So... Mm-hmm. I'm seeing something right here. So before you go further, I just want to really point something out. Mm-hmm. One of the earliest signs of Parkinson's has been shown recently to be constipation.
Yes, he has that.
And he has that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is something that really going in and working that gut can help to change the course of that. The other thing is gluten intolerance, very much associated with Parkinson's disease.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'll let you finish. I just wanted to put that in there right now. So
yeah. You know, that's a great point because I think the first symptom he told me he's been having for many years was constipation.
Constipation.
And he also understands it's part of Parkinson's disease symptoms. Mm-hmm. So we actually implemented anti-inflammatory diet.
Great.
He's been gluten-free, dairy-free since last August.
Beautiful.
And then I have been, you know, I pushed him a lot for, you know, taking some stool test or, you know, organic acid test, and he wouldn't do it last year. But recently he finally agreed to do it because I think the tremors are getting worse.
Right. And as a piano player, that's going to ruin your...
That's right. That's right. So he recently did two tests, actually three. One of them is organic acid. One of them is Vibrant Wellness, Vibrant Americas. So, have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm working with them to get a an account, student account with them. Their Wheat Zoomer is what Dr. O'Brien just...
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, he really likes it over Cyrex.
Yes.
Oh, and so
yeah.
Oh, he likes it over Cyrex. That must be really good.
Right. So I actually attached that report here.
Okay, good. Let's look at
it. Yes. So I think what's revealing, the third test that he did was the hair heavy metal test.
Yep.
Through Trace Elements. So that's the company.
Okay. Yep, that's a good one.
And I think it's just the organic acid test revealed so much. Because obviously, I think the biggest thing that was discovered was he has Clostridia.
Oh.
Right. So if you look at the analysis portion of the test result, that is closely associated with the dopamine metabolism.
Yes. Right. And you said he also has low-grade depression, right? Which is located.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's related to what? L-DOPA, which is precursor. That's what some of the medications for Parkinson's are geared towards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So originally we thought he's low in dopamine because we, you know, we kind of understood, okay, the Parkinson's patients have dopamine issues. So his wife, not me, because I'm not familiar with all these neurological issues, then his wife did a lot of research and they founded this protocol. And there's a doctor called John Gray. So they found this John Gray's protocol, and I think this doctor has Parkinson's, and through this protocol, he healed himself. So they started applying John Gray's supplement protocol, and that actually includes L-Dopa Plus, that kind of stuff, together with a few other things. But I think through my research, I just learned recently, a lot of the times, the Parkinson's disease is not caused by the dopamine deficiency, but it's actually more caused by the conversion from dopamine to epinephrine. And
the overconversion from dopamine.
I think it's the lacking of the conversion. So a lot of them actually have enough dopamine, but they don't convert it. They don't.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of validated by organic acid test. If you look at the neurotransmitter metabolites section.
Before we go there, look at, is this all part of that protocol, or is this some of the stuff he was taking before?
Some of the stuff, it was from me. So if you look at the bottom part, starting from number 17, so that was Dr. John Gray's protocol.
Okay.
Right. So that's a lot of supplements.
Yeah, that's a lot of supplements. And some of that other stuff you put him on, and some of it he probably was on already.
Right.
Or, okay. Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. I'm surprised it's five. Well, he's doing DOPA too, because 5-HTP without dopamine or tyrosine can be problematic. Okay. All right.
Well, I told him to stop taking DOPA Plus. So he just stopped recently, and I told him to reduce 5-HTP.
Okay.
So should I tell him just to stop taking 5-HTP?
Well, I don't want to interfere with this guy's protocol. I put together a protocol for helping people with Parkinson's. So, you know, you got to be really careful about recommending changes in protocols that they've gotten from another practitioner. So, you know, just really, I know you're so dedicated and you're so good at analyzing things, but you do have to just really be careful with that.
Oh, actually, they found it on internet. So.
Oh, okay. So they didn't go to okay, good. Okay.
So it's not like they've been seeing this practitioner. It's just that they found this protocol,
on the internet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So. He started gluten and dairy free once you started working with him. And the cranberry juice, was he having bladder infections? What was his prompting for doing cranberry juice?
Oh, it's just one of the markers in this organic acid test was really high.
Right, but why was he drinking it?
Well, he was drinking it to be mixed with aloe vera juice because he doesn't like aloe vera juice. And I told him to drink aloe vera juice for constipation, and it's being very effective.
Yeah.
Right.
But he put cranberry juice in it to make it taste better. That's kind of unusual. Most people don't put cranberry juice into things to make it taste better. They put things into cranberry juice to make it taste better. So, right, because it's not sweet, cranberry juice, although it might if he's drinking ocean mix, whatever, with sugar. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times people drink cranberry juice because they have recurrent bladder infection. So anytime you see that somebody's drinking cranberry juice, always ask that because they may forget to tell you that because they haven't had a bladder infection in years, but it's because they're drinking cranberry juice and that started it. Just gives you some extra information about their history.
Okay. Yeah, I will ask.
Okay. Yeah. But that you're saying he just started that, so.
Right.
Where did that go? All right. Where is she? Jenny, no one been here. All right, so oat test. Let me just go back one. I want to keep this open because we're doing it off of, let's see, open link in new tab. Good. I'm doing this differently than I normally do, and there's some.
Oh, this is a different case. Oh,
that's a different one. Victor.
Yeah.
Open link in new tab. All right, so we looked here. You want to look at his oat?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got yeast and fungal markers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So this is a really good place to, and bacterial. So he's got a lot of gut, and plus the clostridia.
Yes.
Yeah, his gut's a mess. Okay. So what are you going to do about that?
So that, I think that's, you know, because I feel like this clostridia is so much associated with the dopamine metabolism. So I don't know if this marker he has is considered really high or it's a moderate level of overgrowth.
The C. difficile one, the creosote, that's very high.
That's very high.
Right, mm-hmm. 158. The other one is moderately high, but, you know, these ranges are usually like it to be all the way down in the range. So yeah, that's just a little high, but that creosote is really high.
Yeah, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it seems like this has to be repaired.
Yes.
So I would love to, you know, to listen to what you would suggest. I did actually do a consultation with the Great Plain Laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
People, and then so they make some suggestions to kill clostridia infection.
Yeah, so you got to create a balance, right? So he's got a lot of stuff. It's not just the clostridia. He's mm-hmm. got other bacteria that we don't know what they are, right? And he's got some yeast and funguses, so he's pretty dysbiotic here. Mm-hmm. So we want to get his gut repaired and restored. And I would probably be doing, I would be doing probiotics in between whatever herbs you go with to help him with this so that he's replenishing and rebuilding his own flora. He's probably going to be, I would, you know, given this, I would probably go with getting on a protocol for a couple of months and then doing a stool test.
Yeah.
Right, to see what's there and see what the sensitivities are, because they get the bugs get pretty resistant pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So you really want to just be rotating through some things, and I would look up some of the things with clostridia, but you know, some of the general things that help with bacteria, you know, mm-hmm. the berberine and the overursi and oregano. And what else? Oregon grape root, which is the berberine. Those sorts of things that you can rotate through. Sometimes mm-hmm. silver shows up. I'm just thinking in terms of what oftentimes shows up on those sensitivity tests. Grapefruit seed extract shows up a lot. That's one of my last resorts. But if you can get four of them and rotate them on 5-day rotations, mm-hmm. I would, given all this stuff, I would also be looking at biofilm disruptors.
You know, yes.
Mm-hmm. Because there's too much. It's not like there's one marker. It's a lot. And you just shoot up think you're up the wrong tree when in fact all you needed to do is add the biofilm. So usually what I do is I do 2 weeks of the biofilm disruptors and then I start the antimicrobials. I continue the biofilm disruptors during that, but I give the biofilm disruptors a couple of weeks to start breaking things down, continue to do them, and you know, at good high doses, and then continue to do them. So I've seen a lot of changes in people when they do that.
Okay, so would you recommend the Interface Plus as the biofilm disruptor?
There's something, and I can't remember what, but I think there's something in Interface Plus that I don't like, and I don't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've just used pure encapsulation serapeptidase because there's something, maybe it's, let's look up Interface Plus and make sure I'm not, that's the Claire one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have the Interface and Interface Plus.
Yeah, one or the other has something in it that I wasn't crazy about. So let's see. This is the Interface Plus.
It has vegetable oil powder.
Hard to read. Let me read this carefully because I like it when it's on the bottle and you can read it straight down because I get my eyes don't handle that real well. Let's just look here, Claire. Let's go to Claire's site. Ah, here we go. Now we see it. So this is Interface Plus. It's got the EDTA.
Glucose amylase, beta amylase. Nope, this looks fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this looks fine. Might be something else that I was thinking of that I didn't like. An interface. Oh, look at that. I found it anyway. Six capsules. Let's see the difference. Is it the EDTA that's additional in the plus?
You know,
yes, heavy metals, so that would be helpful. This is the one, egg white. A lot of people have allergies to egg, so okay. That's why I don't use this one.
Okay, got it.
The other one didn't seem to have it, so it's the interface, not the interface plus. Let's just go look at it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He can't actually, he's been eating eggs. Mm. So maybe it's okay for him.
Maybe, but you know, you never know, and I always put people on an elimination diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then introduce things back because you never know when something is affecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And those top six, seven, it's just important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interface Plus would be fine. I'd compare the amount of that in, let's see, serrapeptidase. Whoops. Serrapeptidase. Let's just look it up. See who shows up. I think pure encapsulations. Yeah, here we go. Source Naturals. I'm just going to try to get a sense of how much serrapeptidase are in the ones that are just the serrapeptidase.
Mm-hmm.
500 milligrams. And then let's go back to the interface. Plus, here we go. And it's got, it doesn't say.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaky, but it has all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Their proprietary formula. Well, the total is two capsules. The whole total thing is 675. But I think it would be fine. It's got a lot of enzyme activity, and I know that Claire does a good job of it for biofilm. So, yep.
So should he take like two capsules a day in divided doses?
No, I would take two capsules two or three times a day.
Two or three times a day.
At least during that first 2 weeks. You want to give it a intense. Then you can go off to, I usually do the two weeks of the two capsules two to three times a day. Then I'll go to maybe two capsules twice a day or one capsule twice a day or three times a day. And then I'll go down to a more maintenance dose of just two capsules a day.
Okay, so that should be for 2 weeks.
I would do it for 2 weeks at the high dose. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And then phase in some of the antimicrobials, you know, berberine, some of the others if you have your favorites. Without having a stool test, we don't know exactly what's best for him, but you can just alternate a bunch of different ones.
So the Great Plain Laboratory, they made two suggestions. One is, there's a supplement called Intestine AL. So it's on Amazon. I found it on Amazon.
Intestinal AL?
Yeah. It's called Intestine-AL. No, actually OL, not AL.
Okay, let's see.
Right there. Yeah, that's the one.
Where is it?
Oh, it's on the top. I think it said, did you mean that? That's the one right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There we go, Amazon. Mm-hmm. All right, let's see. And it's orthomolecular and for Coats microbial balance. Let's see, did they show the back of it? There we go. Thyme, clove, oregano.
Yeah,
I mean, that's certainly good, but I would rotate that. I wouldn't just do that.
Okay.
I wouldn't do any of these consistently. I've seen so many people's stool tests come back with the resistant to oregano oil.
Yes. Well, actually, I really wanted him to do Dr. Stata stool test.
Yeah.
But he just didn't, because of the tremor, and he felt it would be challenging for him to collect the stool.
Yeah.
So that's why we decided to do this Vibrant Americas stool test.
Why is that? What's the difference between them?
Because it's very easy. You just kind of, you know, the collection is very simple. You just use a swab.
You just swab from your toilet paper. You don't have to.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that will test for gluten?
No, they test all the bacterial profile. So
they have different tests, but gluten is one of them.
That's right.
Gluten also done through the stool test?
The gluten test is a different test, and that was not the one he took. He took this test called the gut zoomer.
Is this, which one of these is this?
That gut pack right there.
Gut pack, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Okay, cool. So he's got high Firmicutes and proteobacteria, low diversity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is cool. I'll have to look into this. Swab, you get more compliance.
Yes, I had a consultation with them too, just to review this report. And I mentioned about our training program.
Yep.
They're very interested in, I think, Ling, are you working with them to set everything up?
Good.
Ling, yeah. Are you? Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, because they were like, oh, I go like, are you guys interested in, you know, talking to Dr. Rita Marie or something? Oh, they go like, oh, definitely.
Okay, good.
So that's good. Yeah, that's good. You guys are.
Yeah, he's low in his normal flora. Right. Look at
That's
his
right.
Is his lactose?
Yeah.
The good Clostridia's are low. That's probably because the others are out. It doesn't show Clostridia.
It does. Yeah.
What was that? Oops. I don't know. Somebody banged the door and something fell in my eye.
Right. It doesn't show the Clostridia infection.
I don't know if they tested for it, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or they don't test for specific species, because some of the Clostridia is a normal flora.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can use both of these. So what did they say? What did they suggest?
Oh, they just said his diversity is really low. Yeah, and they suggested some of the probiotic supplements and, you know, together with some diet changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see at the bottom of each page, that's the recommendation.
Got it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why do they, I'm not sure what the different pages are, like they're showing Bifido several times.
Right, so some pages are for the gut microbiome and intestinal permeability. Some of them are for the cardiovascular health. So they kind of have a little bit analysis on different categories of health conditions based on the bacteria profile.
Yeah, and they clearly don't do... the parasites, because parasites, you're generally going to need to have three collections to catch them. But this, what's the price range on this test?
This one that I got it for, I think
it's a good price.
It's a good price. I think I got it for like between 100 and 200 or something.
Okay.
But they recently changed it the way how they tested and together with the sample collection. So they now let people do a full stool collection, just like a normal stool collection.
Interesting. Well, I've never looked at this test before, but what I'd like to
print it out and really look through it. And then maybe on our next call, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe next week we can look at that.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to look at this as being a possibility, but I would say given that, you know, he definitely needs the probiotic rich foods. Steph, I'd be curious, Steph's not on anymore, but she was on earlier. I'd be curious to see what her thoughts, if she knows much about this, because when you look at the different flora, she talks a lot about how to customize the probiotic foods so that you optimize the things that they need. But he clearly needs bifidus, so I would do that. Does he get bloated? His constipation?
No, he doesn't complain about the bloating.
Okay. Yeah, so I would be looking at, for sure, the bifidus and some of the, you know, make sure whatever probiotic you choose has the species that he's low in.
Yes. He's taking, we just switched him to a different brand that has 40-something different strains. It's 150 billion CFUs.
Okay, and make sure none of those, he doesn't have any that are high, so.
That's right.
Get the balance. That's my only concern with 40-something strains is that, you know, he's low in the Lactobacillus bulgaris, Acidophorus, and Bifidolongum, and Reuteri. Reuteri is important.
Yes.
But if there's equal amounts or relatively equal distributions in that, you're not going to throw the balance back. You know what I mean? So I'd rather see you find something that has the particular strains that he's low in.
I did. I think this is the only product I've found that has all these strains that he
needs. That has all in there. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I did tell him to eat more fermented foods.
So here's what you can do. If you found things that he's low in, you can actually add some of that. Since bifidus is a really important one, you might get a plain bifidus and have him make fermented foods and add some bifidus to it.
The powder?
Yep.
Whatever the powder. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And that'll help make those cultures will grow more bifido. More of the bifido will grow. And he'll be able to stress that.
Makes sense. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, cool. What other tests did you do on this guy?
He has a heavy metal test. Yeah, that's the third one.
Okay, that's the hair test here.
Right.
No, it's not bad in the tox. It's a little bit of arsenic.
A little bit arsenic. So my question here on this report is, they give you this ratio on the second page. There's the top part, which is labeled as significant ratios right here. So some of the ratios are really high. For example, the ratio between zinc and copper. Now, is that a problem?
No, I really have to study this because I haven't done this test before. That says that there's, in relationship to copper, more zinc, which is good. He's not suffering from copper toxicity. On the other hand, a lot of these tests will say that if there's a lot of zinc in the hair, it means that you're deficient in zinc, that the body's eliminating it. So this could indicate that he's low in zinc.
Okay.
You know who's really good at these is Jamie.
Yes, he and I communicated a little bit. I actually chose this lab because of his recommendation. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's been taking trace minerals, so that which contains zinc and copper and all of that.
Yeah. So apparently it's not the right ratios for him, right? Those are off. Because there's only a couple that are in the acceptable range. Some of them are low, like calcium phosphorus, meaning that there's more phosphorus to calcium. So you have to make sure he's not drinking soft drinks or eating a lot of meat, which has a lot of phosphorus. So potassium is okay. Calcium, potassium. So in relation,
he's low,
which is interesting because his calcium phosphorus is low, meaning, you know, his, so, now his, yeah, it's hard. I'm just going to say, I really have to sit there and study this. I can't do this one on the fly.
Yeah, that's okay. This is my first time to use this test.
Yeah. So I'd have to really sit with it and read some of the explanations and all.
Okay.
Yep. Sodium magnesium.
That's fine. Yeah.
And it's almost really acceptable. But the two main ones that are most offered, the calcium, potassium, and the zinc copper. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, it's reading like what, because mostly on the hair, if the calcium and the zinc are high, they usually say it's because it's low in the bloodstream.
And that's interesting. Yeah, I will do a little more research on that.
Yeah, I will too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'll print this one out so I can
print
it. Here's my little thing. There it is.
And one question that I also have is a supplement called Biocidin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that, would you recommend that for, as an antimicrobial?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good antimicrobial. It's got a variety of things. So if you're trying to do a rotation, it's harder to do a rotation with that. Mm-hmm. Let's look it up to see the exact ingredients. But yeah, that's a good one. I'm a big fan of individuals. I like what they call simples in herbal medicine, just because I find that I can titrate and I can rotate better with that. Let's see what's in Biocidin, though. I don't remember exactly. Here we go. All right. So it's got... bilberry, noni, milk thistle, echinacea, golden seal, shiitake. You know, a lot of these are, let's just throw the store at this. Let's just the antimicrobial we know about. It's going to hit, it's got the black walnut, gentian, it's got things for bacteria, it's got things for funguses. The only problem is, you know, everything's going to be in small amounts, which could be good. And it could be preventing them from getting sensitized to it. But really, sometimes the only way to know is to do it. So, you know, if you're looking for the ease, then this would be a good way to go. And it's certainly a good thing to supplement in there, but I would rotate off and on in it. I wouldn't just stay on it consistently.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, if you had a sensitivity test, you'd know, but, you know.
I have to probably talk to him and see whether he... can do the doctor's data through test?
Yeah, you've got enough tests right now to get him working on a protocol at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't know which one would, you know, which herb would be more.
I don't know, because they only test like 5 or 6 and there's a whole bunch more.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So I would just go with it. I would do the serapeptidase one, the interface plus for a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And you can put in some of the others, Well, that other one is a combination formula. I've never used it, so I don't know. But that's what, if Great Plains recommended it, they must see some results with it. Oh, you can alternate that with this and then with some straight something else.
So if I just use a single herb at one time, how long should he stay on this herb before, you know, he's switched to another one?
I usually do 5 days and then
5 days.
Another one for 5 days and then do at least 4. So you have a 20-day rotation and then start again.
Yeah. So should he do the essential oil, you know, kind of herbs?
That could be one of the rotations. Yeah.
Okay. So how long are we talking about, like, for... actually the period of this whole
2 to 3 months probably.
2 to 3 months.
And then you retest. Okay. It could be longer, but 2 to 3 months is a good time to retest.
Depending, so can I repeat some of the herbs? Because how can I find those many herbs
you repeat the whole thing again.
Repeat. Okay.
20 days and then you start all over from the beginning.
Okay.
So 5, 5, 5, 5, and then you go back to the first one, 5, 5, 5, 5. So you just do 4.
Okay. So my guess is he probably prefers the capsule form because it's easier for him. You know, he doesn't have to pour it because he has the tremors.
Right. Exactly.
Now, are they all the same, or, you know, some of the...
What do you mean?
You know, maybe the liquid form can be a little more effective, or essential oil form is more effective than the capsules. Yeah, I mean,
you can certainly get the capsules of the one that you showed me. Was that an oil form or was that in capsules?
Which one?
The one that Great Plains recommended.
The Intestine AOL, that one? That one I think is a capsule.
Yeah. So you can do it that way to make it easier for him.
Okay.
You can do this as a capsule.
Yeah.
You can certainly get berberine as a capsule. You can get Uva Ursi. Usually I use tincture with that one. And there is some candida thing going on. So something with it, this might be good because it covers all the bases.
Yeah.
Because we didn't test for the parasites, so it will still work for that. So you can just alternate these.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you.
Good job. You know, I really just want to compliment you on, you are so good at saying we start with the basics. We get them on this diet, right? Mm. You're not tempted and swayed and allured by this fancy test and that fancy supplement. You start with the basics. So that's really super important. So.
Okay. Yeah, always starts from the diet. Mm-hmm. Always.
Yay. So if you have questions about your other cases, just come with targeted questions for the other calls tomorrow, and then we'll go through it. Okay?
Okay. So tomorrow, I will be on the call tomorrow.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank
you're welcome. Mm-hmm. So let me look at the calendar for tomorrow. So I think we have just the one. I have my day on Fridays. This is my calendar, guys. It's crazy.
We have the vital health topic at noon.
Yeah. And then so this one's at 2:00. So the INE office hours are at 2:00.
So now that's the call I can.
Yeah. That's the one you can come to. Yes.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Does anybody have any particular questions? I know we've dropped off. We started out with a whole lot of you. We're down to 10. So 10 is really good at 3 hours. So it's a long call. We're going to try to keep these to 1.5 to 2 hours from here on in, because it's like 11 o'clock in the East Coast for people over there. So let me look at the, Lynn, were there any chat questions? I haven't been monitoring, so.
No, we were actually talking about a homeopathic remedy that's a good alternative to the 5-HTP.
Oh, so, okay. Which one is that?
Argentum nitricum. That's how I say it. They need one of those things that says, this is how you pronounce that.
Okay.
Because it also deals with the digestive part of it too.
Yep.
Along with the emotional.
Yeah. I think we need a call, Steph said, on how to identify and explain gut problems based on non-gut related tests. So how to explain it to the client, is she saying, you think?
It's me. It's Elaine. It's my daughter.
Oh, that was Elaine. I thought that was from...
Yeah, no, but Steph did mention that earlier, but then we were talking with the 5-HTP and everything. We were talking after that. But yeah, Steph had said she'd love to see something about what you just said.
Yeah, so can we order the NutriVal? We don't have it set up. Can you get it on Direct Labs?
Yes.
You can? I mean, we could probably, you know, it's something that keeps coming up, and we just, if you put in a request to Scott to get that added to the page.
Do you want just the NutriVal, or do you want the NutriVal and the SpectraCell?
SpectraCell means we have to create a whole new account. So I would start with the NutriVal and we'll see where we go. SpectraCell is easy for people to buy. I could send them to Craig to get SpectraCell. Craig Summers.
Okay.
He sells that on his website. You can buy it there.
That's true.
And SpectraCell you can get in a lot of places. The NutriVal, if you buy it through Direct Labs, I don't know if you can do it from Canada though. So,
no.
And I know Genova will ship to Canada if we order it. So we can order that. We can add that.
Okay.
Let's see. How did you create this report? It's way nicer than what I make on the
computer. It was that genetics report. Remember when I asked you, I opened my line and said.
The one that
she said she got it from a practitioner somebody, or whoever she worked with. Yeah. So it's a good template for us.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Yeah. Don't like the write-ups, but like the layout. All right. I don't see anything else that I missed. Let's see. Elaine, did you have a question?
I was just talking about my daughter who is having some pretty severe constipation issues, and something that was said earlier in relation to one of the reports talked about 5-HTP with the elderly man. And it just made me wonder, because when she went to the doctor, I think I already told you about her going to the doctor, her thyroid numbers came back fine and come back and see me in a year. And they told her to start taking 5-HTP for her depression and panic attacks and anxiety. And so she's been taking 5-HTP for a long time, but now we're in the midst of, she's had digestive issues, bloating, discomfort. But over the last 3 weeks, she's been getting worse and worse and worse with the constipation, to the point where now she's basically just practically not going to the bathroom. So we're kind of in dire straits here, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Because, you know, I would expect the opposite. If you overdo on serotonin, it improves the motility. Is she just doing 5-HTP without any tyrosine?
She's not doing tyrosine,
So here's what happens when you do 5-HTP over the long haul without tyrosine. You're really pushing that serotonin pathway, but on the back end of it, you deplete the dopamine pathway. Dopamine is also important for gut motility. So it could be related there. To keep things going. Does she have lots of bloating? Does she have any signs?
Lots of bloating, lots of pain in the upper, right below her diaphragm.
And this is just recently, or did she have that before? Yeah.
Well, it's been getting worse. She's always had struggles with going to the bathroom, but it's been progressively getting worse for the last few weeks, to where this, for a little over a week now, it's just not happening. I mean, she's been taking Smooth Move periodically to try and make something happen.
Right. It's just symptomatic, right?
Yeah, it's like now we're in dire straits.
I'm wondering about Modal Pro from Pure Encapsulations. Look back at the ingredients on that. How much 5-HTP is she taking?
One pill every night.
Do you notice a difference in her depression?
Well, she hasn't had any extreme bouts, but we've also been doing progesterone crackers. I've been trying to do flax, trying to strengthen her cycle, level up her hormones. Even though her thyroid counts came back fine on that, she's a high stress, high anxiety person, so she's probably got tons of depletions.
You know what you might look at? Have her do the quizzes in the Edge Effect. The Edge Effect. I use this book a lot. It's all marked up. But the Edge Effect. Proberman. And he's got a lot of little quizzes, and then like really identifying where some of that's coming from, dopamine and serotonin and GABA and all that. And then he's got a lot of little exercises and foods and supplements and all the stuff, nutrients, herbs to help with the particular one. So finding out what your dominant piece is. I would highly recommend that you get this book and take a look at it for her.
Okay.
All right.
I'll order right now.
I found it on Amazon for $3 on Amazon Marketplace. So
wow.
I like it. And when my son was having trouble falling asleep when he was like 7th or 8th grade, I had him do the quizzes, and he was GABA up the wazoo. And then when we did his genes, he had all those GADs. So he has a tendency to low GABA. And so we started looking at some of the GABA things for him. And it, you know, it's made a difference a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Any suggestions for immediate relief for the constipation?
Enema?
Okay.
Epsom salts?
Yeah, I've got her taking Epsom salt baths, foot soaks. She did an enema this morning.
Yeah, and then you can actually take the Epsom salts orally.
We do
liver cleanse, so you just make an Epsom. It tastes gross. It's hard to see compliance, but it can move things through pretty quickly.
Okay. All right, and you talk about that. Where did you say you talked about that? In the cleanse?
Oh, in Jane's cleanse and in some of the liver gallbladder cleanses, they use that.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact amount. I think it's like a couple of tablespoons per 8 ounces of water is what's ringing a bell for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Anybody else have questions? Just open your line up if you do, and or chat them into the chat and I'll read it. Otherwise,
I have a quick question about the NutriVal.
Yeah.
And when it suggests what you would have as a powder, we were talking about someone who was taking a lot of supplements. So their recommendations would be on top of what he's already taking. But if he stops taking the supplements he's taking, how does that figure in?
They calculate a base. So they calculate it as this is going to balance him. So you can do it without the supplements that he's already taken. You can do it in place of. And I've used this with people who are on a lot of supplements, and it really was helpful for them now to have this powder. And there are a few things that they can add in. And if there's things that we thought they really needed in addition, they would up it. They would bump it. So you can have them really, truly customize it.
Okay. Thank you.
Right. And if they say they're taking a bunch and you've determined, yeah, they really do need 50 milligrams of P5P and this thing comes back without, and you really just are feeling strongly that they need that, you just add that to it and they'll add it. So they'll customize that however you want it customized. And it's very convenient for people to just have to use this powder, right? Instead of all those pills. Thank you, Valerie. Anybody else?
I thought Jenny had said up there she had a question, but I was just reading what June said about triple up powder. I will take it at night, like a tea before I go to bed, and something usually has happened by the time I wake up in the morning. So
yeah,
I had some pretty bad constipation for a while there. So,
And so here's one: is if B12 is high in the blood, does it mean the person has too much B12 in his system? Yeah, I generally tend to see when people have high B12, I oftentimes see high MCV and high homocysteine, and sometimes high MMA if they do it, because it's actually not being utilized; it's in the blood. And that often happens when somebody's taken a cyano form of it, but it can happen when they have methylation issues as well. All right. I don't see anything else. So you just ordered the Edge Effect. Great, Elaine. Yeah, so Trafala is very good. I was going to mention that one as well. Massage, abdominal massage, Mayan massage type things. Look up Mayan massage on Amazon and on Google. That can be excellent. Really work that ileocecal valve and make sure that it's not getting stuck, closed. Castor oil packs sometimes can do it as well. Yeah, to just get things moving. And it could be that her anxiety is what's feeding in to her constipation. And I'm just concerned with low dopamine. So you can stop the 5-HTP and just see what happens. If she gets really depressed, I would be looking at adding maybe some tyrosine to that to see if you can balance it out. That's not going to give you immediate effect, but it could over the course of the next couple of weeks. Just really, it bothers me to see large doses of 5-HTP being used without tyrosine. And the vice versa too. Some people will just do tyrosine without 5-HTP. And I just like to see there's some balance there. All right. Anybody else? We good? Thank you guys for being here, for spending so many hours, for being so dedicated. And we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.